much about
you gotta put it in perspective.
What's happening? It's your boy Lil Jon giving the fellas out there a helpful hint on how to get the ladies.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
When I was a kid, I memorized the Countries of the World song from the Animaniacs. Here's the third verse. India, Pakistan, Burma, Afghanistan, Thailand, Nepal, Bhutan, Cambodia, Malaysia, and Bangladesh, Asia, and China, Korea, Japan, Mongolia, Laos, and Tibet, Indonesia, the Philippine Islands, Taiwan, Sri Lanka, New Guinea, Sumatra, New Zealand, and Borneo, and Vietnam, Tunisia, Morocco, Uganda, Angola, Zimbabwe, Djibouti, Botswana, Mozambique, Gambia, Swaziland, Zambia, Guinea, Algeria, Ghana.
That's pretty goddamn impressive.
And now, one nipple. Two nipples. Three nipples. Oh, hell no, I'm out of here. Our feature presentation.
What's up, kids?
What's up, Bean?
Morning.
Welcome into an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, this time for a Tuesday, the 2nd of Rocktober. Right?
I thought that's what we were doing.
Oh, all right.
No, okay. I'm sorry. It's a good idea, though.
Sorry.
Yeah, we need to start incorporating that. Hey, lot of show today, a lot to get to. Got a great thing in a moment, but first, I'm a little bit concerned. Chip gave me a heads up that there may be an alley situation this morning. What's going on with the sleep factor here?
Go ahead, Chip.
So when Allie does not have enough sleep... Mm-hmm. She's loopy. But when she has too much sleep, she's loopy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Neither one is good.
Right.
So she walked in, she said she had too much.
Oh.
Yeah.
So what's the window that you have to play with here? Do you have to get within like 15 minutes of the right amount of sleep, otherwise you're in trouble?
Pretty much, yeah. It's that specific. No, I would say if I get over 6 hours, that's a lot of sleep for me.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow, that's not much.
Oh, no. I used to function, when I did TV, I used to function like 4 hours, maybe 5 tops a night. I'll be dead by 50.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
We used to hear that that Bill Clinton slept less than 4 hours a night, every night.
Well, that was for a different reason.
Right.
He was sneaking around doing bad things.
Right. He had to set his alarm for 2 a.m. to go meet interns. But there are some people who just need very, very little sleep. But you have a specific amount that you need, which is what? What's like the perfect ideal amount for you?
Ideal would be 6 hours. That would be fantastic.
How about you, Jensen?
Well, it's all new for me.
Right.
This is a new schedule that I've never necessarily faced before. I used to not need a lot of sleep. And then once I hit around 35, sleep felt better. But yeah. I am a morning guy. So it does contradict. Mm. It contradicts each other.
Right. Yeah. Well, this isn't morning. This is the middle of the goddamn
nighttime.
Night.
Right. Yeah, this is nighttime.
That's totally what this is. I go to bed earlier and earlier every year. I'm going to end up being a sloth. Mm-hmm. At the end of my life, I'm going to be just like a sloth, where I'm awake for about 40 minutes a day. And I'll just be sleeping the whole rest of the time.
What time are you going to bed now?
I shoot for 8.
Yeah, it's a good feeling.
It is really? A great feeling. I don't always make it. Last night, I think it was around 8:30, but I shoot for 8. That's my goal. That's what I want.
I think that's beautiful.
I wish I could. Yeah.
Try having no friends.
Oh.
Oh, that helps?
It helps a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, because then you don't have to worry about pesky plans with people and stuff.
True.
You know, you don't have to worry about hearing from people, and the phone ringing and texts and things like that. All the things you worry about as a human.
But on weekends, you stay up past 8?
Nope.
No, sir.
No, I keep my schedule.
Wow.
I keep my schedule. Except on weekends, of course, I sleep in and I get up around 6. So on weekends, I get like 10 hours of sleep.
You ever woke up like at 10:30 or like 11 and just couldn't go back to sleep? So you look at your phone and something remarkable has happened? Like something you've completely missed? Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying news event.
Oh, yeah.
Just thinking one day you're going to fall asleep at 8:30 and then wake up, look outside, and there's just like a huge nuclear bomb or something.
Huge world war, yeah.
If I do wake up, and I do, I try to never look at my phone.
Yeah, because that wakes you up, right?
Because it wakes you up, yeah. And they say that light, it makes it harder for you to go back to sleep. So
yeah.
I try not to.
Congratulations, Bean, on creating a lifestyle that fits perfect for your job.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
It's impressive.
All right, let's talk about the thing.
I'm sad.
Do we have? Hey, do we have time for the thing?
We do.
Okay. Because we talk so much about the. Okay. I have an unnatural dislike for pregnancy and pregnant people. Oh, we've talked about this. We've talked about this in the past.
Serious,
I don't approve of it.
Guy who goes to bed at 8 o'clock's got a problem with pregnancy.
Yes.
News at 11.
He hates the look of pregnant women.
I hate everything about it. And what I hate the most is that at the end of it all, there's a baby. But the thing that I get the most heat on is, and I know it doesn't make any sense. I know it's unfair. But women who rub their pregnant bellies drives me insane. I hate it. Like, get your hands off your stupid kid. All right, that's where.
Oh my God, you're the worst.
That's where I'm at. Okay, but that's not what this is about. This is about when did gender reveal parties become such an essential part of telling your friends and family you're having a boy or a girl? Because it wasn't that long ago where the woman went to the doctor. Mm-hmm. They said, you want to know what it is? They go, yeah. Oh, it's a little boy. And then they'd get home and they'd call their friends and family and go, hey, I just got back from the doctor. I'm having a boy. And they go, oh, that's really sweet. Okay, see you soon. Bye.
There's one reason and one reason only.
Please.
Instagram.
Yeah. That is really. Social media in general.
Social media. Yep.
So now you have to show off everything.
So how'd you do it? Did you pop a balloon and what? And pink powder came out? Did you cut into a cake? It's blue. F off.
If I worked at any of those places, it would be so fun to just replace it with black powder.
Right?
And they're like pinata, doof, and just like a black smoke monster just comes out of it.
So, Allie, it sounds like you agree with me that these gender reveal parties are terrible.
It's insane. It's absolutely insane.
It's no longer
about you and your husband or your wife or your whatever you have.
Parents, yeah.
Yes, it's about everyone else seeing it and going, oh, congratulations, yeah, you have pink.
Also, it seems that people are trying to one-up each other with the actual medium in which you've done it.
For sure.
So, like, a pinata isn't enough for one person, so then you have to do, like, a wiffle ball bat and a ball.
Yes, that's a very popular one, right.
So dumb.
Yeah.
And they have lightsaber parties. I mean, they have all sorts of dumb things. Mm-hmm. Well, there's actually a gender reveal party in the news right now. The man's name is Dennis Dickey. He, by the way, happens to be a 37-year-old Border Patrol agent who should have known better. But he takes his friends and family out into the desert near Tucson. So now, by the way, as it's not dumb enough that it's a gender reveal party, now it's a destination gender reveal party. So they go out there, and he has set up a target, and he has put this highly explosive substance that is called tannerite on the target. And then, because he's got to show off, he steps way, way, way back because he's a Border Patrol agent and pretty good with a gun, and he shoots it with a high-velocity rifle, okay? And then the tannerite, it explodes into a mist of pink because he's having a little girl. Congratulations, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what he didn't expect is that it was going to start a fire that would burn 45,000 acres of land managed by the state of Arizona. He did the right thing. He immediately reported the fire to law enforcement. He cooperated and admitted that he started the fire. In other words, he didn't shove everybody into a van and then drive away as fast as possible.
It's a girl. Get in the car. It's a girl.
So he alerted authorities. It took 800 firefighters to get it contained. At the end, when it was, it racked up a price tag of more than $8 million.
Yeah, this was a huge fire that was on the news. This was the sawmill fire.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
That's exactly what the sawmill fire
by
was
the way,
started by this guy.
Sawmill fire is like a 1920s disaster that killed hundreds of people. You hear about the sawmill fire?
It sounds like
everybody's out of a house.
He, by the way, has agreed to pay back the money in restitution, which, of course, is impossible on a government salary. He is paying $100,000 up front and another $120,000 in monthly installments over the next 20 years. How much money is this dude making?
I have a reveal about his daughter.
Yes.
She's broke.
Yeah.
The whole family has no money now.
Man.
He will also be on 5 years probation and appear in a public service announcement for the Forest Service. He says it was a complete accident. I feel absolutely horrible about it. It was probably one of the worst days of my life, which I think backs up what you just said, Jensen, yeah. which is he is never going to look at that little girl without hating her.
Yeah, it's terrible.
You ruined my life and stole my retirement, you bitch.
You better name her Debt.
Exactly.
Daddy.
Debt Dickey, right?
His name Dickey. Is Dickey.
Yeah, Debt yeah. Dickey's not a terrible name.
No.
So I guess what I'm saying, and it sounds like I actually have some rare support in the room, is stop it, people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin Beach Show, shall we?
Why? Because what?
Okay, let me handle this, Kevin. Bean makes his guest on the program today. I think we have a very controversial list.
Oh, Bean.
Which I am enjoying. Well, because, well, I'll explain. I'll explain later. The Dodgers, for the 6th year in a row, you guys, are the National League West champions. So congratulations to them. Braves coming to town in a couple of weeks. It was a phenomenal game and a phenomenal after-game party yesterday, if you saw any of those videos going around. We'll catch up with our Dodgers correspondent, Matt Money Smith, on the program. Allie, you're up for some dream interpreting today?
I am, yes.
Fantastic. Brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Got some great viral videos to share with you. I had an encounter in a restaurant the other day, and I need your take on whether I should have intervened on some awful behavior in public. At what point do you step up, and at what point do you go, none of my business, leave it alone? I'll tell you the story. We're going to do an interesting phone topic today on there's something that's great that all of your friends are telling you about, or maybe just one, or maybe a significant other, but because of their enthusiasm for it, you refuse to enjoy it.
I have hot takes for this.
Oh, good.
Takes. Yeah,
good.
This is something that just absolutely infuriates me. So
you don't want to have anything to do with it just because you've been overhyped by the people close to you, even though they might be right. We'll talk about that on the program
today. Is this about Peaky Blinders?
It might be. It might involve somebody who's been talking about Peaky Blinders every day for 4 years. All that, plus your Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights tickets, Nitro Circus tickets, OC Oktoberfest, and so much more. Allie's got what's happening right after this on K-Rock. As you've heard us talk about here in the last few weeks, K-Rock has recently moved. We're in a new location at the Miracle Mile in Los Angeles, and there are so many food options inside the building that I think Beer Mug is just living here now, right? Like, there's no reason for him to leave the building. There's all the food he could ever want right here within these walls.
He's basically being catered. It's a remarkable list he's talked about, and I can't wait to hear more about it.
It is shocking how much his life has become a buffet, an all-you-can-eat buffet where he just never stops.
Yeah, yesterday he gave me a personal tour of the upstairs snack room, which is something we have. Do you know, Allie, do you know about this?
Yeah, we pay for it, though, right?
Yes, yeah, okay. It's not free.
See, that's where he's going to get in trouble.
Well, yes. He did open the door to the room, and it was like he was the mayor of the city.
Oh,
he was. He like opened it, and he went, "For you," and just like pointed it out. And I was like, "Oh boy, you have a real ownership of snacks here."
Well, I can't wait to hear all about it. Apparently, he has been keeping track at our request of everything he's eaten in just the first week here in the building.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that. Plus, Bean makes his guest next hour. Allie's here now with our first look at what's happening on a Tuesday.
Well, this was good news to wake up to. FX has picked up a second season of Mayans MC. That's just 4 episodes.
Yay!
Yes, just 4 episodes into the show's 10-episode first season. So that's a pretty good sign, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, that show launched on September 4th to the highest ratings of any new cable series of 2018. And through 3 episodes, it's been averaging 8.2 million viewers.
Wow.
That's a ton.
Phenomenal.
That's a hit.
That is a serious, serious hit. By the way, top rated cable or broadcast among men 18 to 34. And I fit into that category because I watch it every week and I dig it.
That's a gender reveal. Go on.
Oh.
Yeah.
You work in cable television.
Yes.
You're the EP of the Battle Rap Show. 8 million is very rare for basic cable these days.
That
right?
is a dream. If just for the record, if I had 8 million viewers on Drop the Mic, wouldn't be here.
All right. Fair enough.
Wouldn't be in the studio. No.
Got it. But that is, averaging 8.2 million viewers through 3 episodes. That wasn't like a fluke one episode. Everyone wanted to check it out and then they dropped off. That's amazing.
It's real good.
Was Sons of Anarchy getting 8.2 million? No.
I don't know if it was
that
high.
I don't think so. So.
Yeah. Way to go, Kurt Sutter and team.
Yeah.
Amazing. We've got to get that other fellow on, the co-creator.
Yeah.
Is it Elgin?
Yeah, Elgin. He's an incredible story. He's like the showrunner and a co-EP on the show. And he got out of jail recently.
His backstory is incredible.
Yeah, we're hoping to get him in here.
Absolutely. Well, Bean, a little news for you. I know it isn't news for you because you probably have a Christmas beep. There it is. Google alert.
John Legend?
John Legend has announced that he's releasing a Christmas album with an accompanying tour. That's hard to say. By the way, album executive produced by Rafael Sadiq.
Nice.
Who is amazing.
He's a genius.
Yeah. So it's going to feature 6 original songs, 4 classic Christmas records. I am excited for this. How about you, Bean? You excited?
Very, very excited. And look at those guest stars, too.
Tell me about them.
Stevie Wonder is one of them. I know
sure.
that.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple of others that were announced yesterday that sounded like they might be real good, too.
Well, I will look those up. They're not on this sheet.
Hoping for Cardi B.
Oh, no.
You know, the William Shatner Christmas album is the one that I'm really
Bean,
psyched about.
You weren't here when I played a clip, and I said, I know Bean already knows that this is happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's phenomenal. It's coming out soon, and he has a duet with a man named Henry Rollins. You want to hear a little bit?
I very much do.
All right.
Dashing through the snow on the one-horse open sleigh, o'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to laugh and sing a sleighing song tonight. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
And if I'm not mistaken, that is the opening track on the album, but it's also the last track on the album. However, that one is the punk version.
Hmm.
So.
I don't need that.
Oh, man.
I don't care.
I did not see that coming.
Oh. I don't care for that. I don't care.
See?
They had to have recorded that in one take, right? Just like go in, walk out.
Nailed it.
Go back home.
Yeah, don't care for that. Don't need that. Look, here's the thing about William Shatner. I know that for decades he was easy to laugh at because of those terrible records that he made in the 60s. Mm-hmm. They had the very pretentious, you know, versions of Rocket Man and things like that that he made. But that album he did with Ben Folds, oh my God, was so brilliant that I hold out hope that he'll do something that great again. But he has not with that Jingle Bells.
I mean, that was it. We listened to it last week, and I was like, this is not, it's not really a song.
No. It's like weird spoken word and a little aggression.
Just happens.
Yeah.
The other guest on the John Legend album, by the way, is Esperanza Spalding.
Oh. Oh, I saw her open for Prince.
Yeah, so I'm very excited this time of year with Christmas music news all the time. Like you said yesterday with the new Stefani songs and other stuff. This is my time.
Being greatest Christmas song of all time?
Don't make him do it. Don't make him do it.
Don't make me do it, but if I could only choose one, it would either be Christmas Time Is Here from Peanuts, Charlie Brown Christmas, or the Chipmunk song. I'm sorry.
Unbelievable.
I know people hate the Chipmunk song. I will never not love it.
It's a good, I mean, it's a jam. It bops. It bops. I mean,
it slaps.
Yeah, it's a jammer. It's got some hits in it.
I mean, this Christmas, this much Christmas conversation may be too early for most of our listeners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we'll do more as we get closer.
Good.
Can I interest you in a new Madonna album?
Certainly.
All right. Looks like it's in the works for 2019. She was doing an interview promoting a new beauty roller addition to her MDNA skincare lineup. Which I didn't know she had, but apparently she does.
It's too much going on.
And she slyly alluded to the fact that she's been working on more than just skincare. Here's her quote. I'm finishing my record, which I'm going to release next year. Yep, in between rose mist spray and serums, I'm actually making music. Can't quit my day job. Oh, you, the queen of pop. This will be her 14th LP and her first release since 2015's Rebel Heart. So there you have it.
It's some song that's going to be like, it's lit. It's lit. Like, it's going to be some, it's
don't.
Like a 50-year-old woman just talking about things she heard on, like, her teenage kids say. I can't.
I don't want it. I don't want that.
No, I can't do it.
All right.
I'm out. I tap out.
Okay. And for that reason, Jensen's out.
I'm out.
A little Shark Tank for you. Some birthdays for you. Sting. Remember when we did a breakfast with Sting?
That was great. It was phenomenal.
Unbelievable.
He came and he how many songs did he do?
10?
Oh, yeah. It was easy? It was a me concert. Yeah.
He was phenomenal.
He was terrific, yeah.
Yeah. Lorraine Bracco, Goodfellas, Sopranos. Tiffany! Remember her?
Yeah, we think we're alone now. Yeah.
Just performing at malls, being all redheaded. Kelly Ripa and celebrity photographer Annie Leibovitz. And that's what's happening.
Later this week on the Kevin and Bean Show, by the way, not only Dr. Drew Pinsky, RJ Bell with the NFL Week 5 picks, Tom Morello is going to be on the program.
Oh.
He's got that new solo album coming out with tons of guest stars. Looking forward to talking to him. And, Allie, I know you're very excited. Mm-hmm. Billy Mother Effin' Idol.
Oh, my God.
He's got a Vegas residency.
He does.
Yeah. If you haven't seen him live in the past couple years, the dude slays. He kills it.
No, he's great. He's playing the Cal Jam, too. So Billy Idol, we had him on when his autobiography came out a couple years ago. But we have many questions for Mr. Idol. So that's all coming up this week on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Beer Mug.
Good morning, everybody. A beautiful morning to every one of you.
I just feel
rejuvenated and revived in this new building for some reason.
Yeah, really? I would too if I ate this much.
Not only that, you have Dodger feelings today, so that's got to make it a good day for you.
That helps.
This new building that we're in, we have mentioned that we moved to a fancy building because they're tearing the old K-Rock building down. And the food options here, not only inside the building, but in the neighborhood, are like a million times better than what we've been living with for the past 20 years.
It's unbelievable the difference, because when we came from Venice, there was literally 3 fast food restaurants surrounding our area that I would frequent every day. And I just got so tired of it. Also, our vending machine in the building only worked half the time.
Yeah.
Didn't take the correct change when it said change only. It wouldn't give us items sometimes. So it was really frustrating if you were hungry at that old building. There was nothing to eat.
By the way, Muggs did go to all 3 nearby fast food restaurants every morning.
Like the Devil's Triangle?
Yes.
he didn't just choose one. All right. So what's the layout here that has you so excited?
Well, first of all, I mean, you got to look at the surrounding area. I mean, we have an IHOP directly across the street, which probably has to make you jealous, right?
I got to be honest. That hurts me.
There's a Baja Fresh. There's a Johnny's Italian Bistro, Coffee Bean, Starbucks, The Counter, Hawaiian Barbecue, Five Guys, Chipotle. There's a whole Ralph's supermarket directly across the street.
This is all walking distance.
Yeah. I don't even have to get in my car. With the old building, I had to drive to those fast food.
I mean, you do, though, but...
Well... No, yeah. I mean, I could just walk there.
You could.
Yes.
You could. But you don't.
What I'm saying. Right? You drive there.
Well, no, I did walk. I did there. I walked to Baja Fresh last week.
Okay.
I didn't know you could walk that far anymore,
yes.
Mike.
He actually technically rolls.
How dare you?
All right. So what have you been eating in the new building?
Well, so besides all the lovely eateries we have surrounding our building, we have the coolest thing I've ever seen in any modern business setting.
He's also standing on his chair right now.
It is an entire, like, K-Rock mini mart upstairs above our studio. I mean,
so it's like having a 7-Eleven in the building.
Exactly, Bean. Wow. I mean, and it's so easy to use. All you have to do is just take the item, you go over to this little kiosk machine, you scan it, and you use your credit card, and boom, like that, you're out.
So you just pay for it with a credit card?
He's also missing one crazy detail, which is not only can you pay by credit card, we're not all sure how to do it yet,
but
you can also pay by fingerprint?
Yes.
I don't like it.
Has a real Minority Report vibe.
Yeah. Yes.
You can set up a monthly account preloaded for this thing. It is amazing. So Monday, the first day in the building when we were here, I didn't really get to use it because actually we had free delivery. Mm-hmm. We had free breakfast delivery. So I was kind of, you know, I was satisfied with that. So I didn't really get to venture up there.
All right.
The second day we were up there, I got to use it for the first time. However, the machine wasn't working, so I didn't want to grab too many items because we had to leave an IOU. So I purchased one egg cup.
And then left a note
that
said, I'll pay you back. And then they ended up reaching out to me. Like, it's time to pay for your egg cup, weirdo.
Oh my gosh.
$2.99, pay up.
Okay.
So I did that. So that was kind of like my break into the store.
Also,
very reasonable.
Imagine your first decision. You walk into a snack shop and your first thing is, you know what? Egg cup.
Yes.
Yeah. Egg cup. It says so much about him. Yeah.
So the second day, Wednesday, this is where Beer Mug started to play.
Yeah. Okay.
First, I started with an Arizona green tea,
mm-hmm. right?
Followed by pork rinds.
Pretty mm-hmm. chill in the morning.
Yeah. You should see what I eat in the morning, Jensen. It's really ridiculous.
I'm seeing it right now.
Then I followed that up with a salami and cheese platter up there.
Oh, after the pork rinds?
After the pork rinds. Delicious.
So it's got to be 7:30 by now.
Yeah. Then I felt that I didn't have enough antioxidants, so I purchased another green tea, this time from the Honest Tea Green Company.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Then I had, which was awesome, I haven't seen them in there since, I think I got the last one, these Tyson microwavable 6-piece chicken nuggets.
Okay.
I mean, after the K-Rock store, you know, we have our meeting, then I do some post-production stuff after the show. I walked across the street to Baja Fresh and purchased myself a bean and cheese burrito with chicken and black beans.
Well, you must have been starving.
This was
pre-noon.
And yes. By the way, I might get Baja Fresh tattooed across my chest because I love this establishment.
Really?
Well, that's how bits get born. Morning radio.
I'm sorry to interrupt. You're telling me after the salami and cheese platter and the pork rinds and the chicken nuggets, you then went across the street to Baja Fresh for burritos.
Yeah, then it was lunchtime. Correct. Yes.
Okay, understood.
Yes. So then that was Wednesday. Thursday, I found there was a coffee bean directly downstairs. Literally, you cross one block and it opens at 5 a.m. right when we get in.
Okay.
I purchased one large Malibu Dream Ice Blended Drink, one large double dirty chai tea latte, one protein picnic box, and one jalapeno cheddar croissant.
Are you taking out a loan?
No.
What
I mean,
is that?
This is
a Malibu Dream Ice Blended, by the way. Yeah. It literally is a milkshake.
Yeah. It is.
It's not a coffee drink.
It's got to be. Am I lying? 600 calories?
Oh, at least.
Okay.
Look,
yeah.
Chip just reminded me, I'm an athlete and I gotta fuel up. You know what I mean?
Right. Michael Phelps. Right.
Yes. And then for lunch in the surrounding area, I had a 2-item combo with orange chicken and Beijing beef from Panda Express, Dave's favorite restaurant.
Oh, that is the best Chinese food available.
Yes.
I literally can hear your arteries closing.
This is astonishing, Muggs.
So that was Thursday. Now, we come to Friday. I was actually kind of busy. Fridays are my busiest days, just a lot of post-production stuff. So I only had time for 2 items at the K-Rock store, which was Caesar salad and a can of Sprite.
The Caesar salad must have been like, what am I doing here? Like, when it gets in your stomach, he's like, I'm out of place.
But
that's almost a reasonable meal.
It was almost. But then, you know, felt a little hungry after that, so I went back to Baja Fresh and purchased a bean and cheese burrito, my go-to, with chicken and black beans on Friday.
I hate to say this. We might have to fire you just to save your life.
Save my life and my wallet. You know how much I spend the first week here?
I'm fascinated to know.
$80
and
54 cents.
On all of this.
On all of this I just mentioned.
Oh, my God.
So if I continue that every week while we're here, that'll be an annual total of $4,188.04.
I mean, in your defense, brother's got to eat.
Right?
Yeah, but also you got to keep in mind this is before noon.
Right?
He's spending this money before noon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This doesn't count my dinners, right?
Yeah.
I might have to take up a second job.
Just a question. Are you doing we ask that you're honest here.
Yep.
A second lunch, because I'm seeing when you're eating so early, I feel like you're going to get hungry again around 4. That's before dinner.
No, you know, everything that I get in the K-Rock store is kind of my breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
So my lunch, I keep lunch, and then dinner.
Okay.
I'll figure it out.
Okay.
R.I.P. Brimbug. L.A. and O.C.'s Alternative Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ. Kevin and Bean Show. Post-glow of a Dodger win yesterday. Here's Yasiel Puig in the locker room after the game. You guys tell me, is he excited?
We're going for more. Hey, Atlanta, I see you soon, baby. And the next one, Chicago, Colorado, no matter who's going, we're going to beat it. And we're going to the World Series again. And this time, we're going to win the World Series. 2018,
the big party is here in Los Angeles.
Our friend Matt Money Smith, co-host of the Petros and Money radio show on the Dodger station, AM 570 LA Sports, joins us. Matt, in your long and storied sports broadcasting career, have you ever done an interview with your shirt off like Yasiel did yesterday?
No, although I would say maybe not in my sports broadcasting career, but I remember you guys putting me in a Hooters tank top one time, so there was that. Yeah, so it's not like I haven't humiliated myself and had no sense of dignity thanks to you two idiots. Well, not you, Jensen, but thank at you. Least you, Bean.
Well, give me some time. I'll make you an idiot.
Right.
There we go.
So this was two big blowout champagne parties in the locker room within a few days of each other. That, I mean, these guys are really enjoying this, right?
Well, you know, and there were some people that, and I don't know why they do it. I don't get, you know, what you gain. I guess if you just string it out to the end, like, what do you gain by piling on the Dodgers for having a champagne party for qualifying for the postseason? It's 162 games. I mean, they get 12 days off from basically February until October. And if they qualify to make a run at a World Series, I don't care if they want to, you know, get nuts and start dumping champagne on each other's head and then do it again 2 days later. They've earned it, you know.
Yeah.
They don't get a single Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. Think about that. They do not get a single weekend day from April until October to blow it out and tie it off.
If only they got paid a lot, these baseball players.
I hear what you're saying, Matt, and I have been one who has been critical of too many champagne parties because you haven't really won anything until the end, until you've won the World Series. But look, six times in a row, they've been the NL West champs. So whatever they're doing, let them keep doing it because it's working, right?
Yes, exactly. And by the way, if for all of you that have just heard that audio and haven't seen it, you've got to watch the clip and watch it through the end because Yasiel dumps two Budweisers on our man David Bassett's head. And he can't recover. Throw it back to the studio. It really is something special.
I need to ask you about that because this is your guy out there. Why isn't he wearing goggles? What is wrong with him?
Well, that's the big Clayton Kershaw thing this year. Kershaw thinks the goggles were making him soft. He's like, hey, you don't get many of these. If you can't endure the burn, then you didn't deserve it. So he kind of started this movement this year, a pushback of no goggles. Embrace that burn and know that it's a good burn.
Really?
Sounds like a pretty chill dude.
Yeah, so that is their leader.
Can he run for Supreme Court? Or
what about 91-year-old Tommy Lasorda in his wheelchair getting doused with champagne after the game? Did they allow Tommy to wear goggles at least?
Tommy can wear goggles.
Okay, that's fair enough.
If you're 91 and you're tying it on, you can wear the goggles.
Let's talk about just a couple of specifics of the game, and I know it's really more important to kind of look forward to the Braves at this point, but how could you say too much about Walker Buehler? Was that one of the great Dodger postseason performances of a pitcher of all time?
Yeah, for people that kind of don't know, so this is a kid they drafted. He was their first pick. I think it was 3 years ago. It was kind of maybe 4 years ago. He had some arm trouble when he was at Vanderbilt, and then he missed the following season, and his agent was kind of one of the, I think it might have been Scott Boras, who wanted a bunch of money, and the Dodgers were like, look, his arm, you know, he needs surgery, so we can't give you your whatever you're asking, and it basically came down to the last day they could sign him coming out of the draft, or else he would just re-enter the draft, and the Dodgers would get a replacement pick, and Walker Buehler basically said to his agent, hey, I don't care what it is, whatever they're offering, take it. I want to be a Dodger. I'm not playing your agent games. So that's
wow.
The tennis team was coming in to start. And, yeah, you kind of saw that, you know, I don't want to take the name from Oral Hershiser, but that bulldog mentality on the mound where he gets the ball and he just believes he's the boss and he doesn't care how old he is. He's going to push all those vets around in the batter's box.
Yeah, and a no-hitter going into the sixth. I love that he's 24, but he looks 17, too. I think that makes it a lot of fun.
Hey, Matt, can we discuss Kenley Jansen?
We can discuss Kenley Jansen. What would you like to discuss, Allie?
I'm really nervous about him.
Yeah. Is it butthole pucker time for you, Allie?
He gave up back-to-back home runs in the ninth, for the love of God.
It's been a rough year. I mean, obviously, you tread lightly with Kenley. He had the heart issue. He's going to have heart surgery after the season. He did say that does fatigue him a little bit. So you do get a little worried. Maybe if he gets into these high-leverage situations, and, you know, I mean, it's it's a cliche, but it's kind of true, right? Your heart starts pounding a little bit more. Your blood starts pumping. You don't know if that's affecting him. Because it's certainly out of character. This has been the most dominant closer in baseball for the last 6-7 years, ever since Mariano Rivera retired. And this year's just been odd. I mean, it is so uncharacteristic, especially the home runs. I mean, this is not somebody who gives up home runs. So you almost, you wonder if that's part of it, which is why I think you kind of, you back off a little bit. It's like, okay, you got, your cushion is four. As long as you only give up four, we're good. We've got serious problems.
But if you're Dave Roberts, you still send him out there in a must-win situation at the end of a game, right?
Yeah, I think even with those issues, he's still the surest thing they have in that bullpen.
All right.
So yeah, that's what it's going to come down to. Hey, and I guess there's worse situations, right?
Well, you could put me out there.
That's true.
Matt,
I don't know, Jensen, I hear you got a sweet noon to six freaking burger.
I'm trying.
Matt Buddy Smith is on the phone from AM570 LA Sports Pitchers and Money, where you want to hear all your Dodgers games, by the way. Let's look ahead just briefly. The Braves coming to town 2 days. What say you? How do you feel about the matchup?
I mean, I guess if you look at regular season, right, they pretty much handled them. They won 2 or 3 here. They won 3 or 4 there. The starting pitchers in the series, Rich Hill, Clayton Kershaw, Walker Buehler, all got dominant wins. I think each of them allowed just a single run in their starts. It's a really young team. So sometimes, you know, where they say young and dumb is better, you know, than veterans at times when you get to these high leverage situations. So they have the talent. It's just really, really young.
Right.
Talent that'll have to kind of, you know, how many cliches can I spit out? Young and dumb, rise to the occasion, all that sort of stuff. So they look like the better team. I mean, I think kind of decisively they look like the better team, especially from an offensive standpoint.
The Dodgers had an up and down season. They had their worst start in franchise history at one point. They were 10 games under 500 at one point. They're peaking at the right time, though, man. And I feel like, and it's not just because I'm a homer here. What I'm going to say is I feel like the people who are saying, like Yasiel said last night, that this team is in a better position to win a World Series this year than the team was last year. I believe that. How about you, Matt?
Well, you know, the AL is tough. I mean, the Red Sox are really good. The Astros are really good. So that's a concern. But I think the National League, there's no dominant team. They look like they're probably the best team again. So the Brewers are really good. I think the Brewers probably get out of the other side of the bracket if the Dodgers can defeat the Braves, which I think they will. I'm guessing that's the team they'll face. So, and they're not, by no means are they not a great team. I mean, they have a really good bullpen with that wacky dude and his long hair, that white trash guy that closes the games out. It's not easy. That's kind of what it comes down to, is who gets the last 9 outs in the playoffs. And don't know that from last year all too well.
Well, look,
is ultimately, it's
been 30 years, Matt. Let's do it for Tommy and let's do it for Vin. Seriously, it's got to happen.
Come on, Matt. Do it.
You do it.
Matt.
You go out there and do it, Matt.
That's right. I'm gonna dig in and make swings and get it done.
Very last question, because we're out of time, and that is, who do we want to win, Cubs or Rockies, today on the other side?
You know what? I think probably the Cubs, just because the Brewers are in their division. They face each other so much, and I think the Cubs are more likely to come out of that series than the Brewers. And I think if there's one of those three teams you probably would like to avoid, if you can, it'd be the Brewers. Let's go Cubs there. All right.
Fair enough. Matt, we love you. We know how busy you are. We appreciate you jumping on. We'll be listening, man. We'll talk soon.
You got it. Thank you, everybody.
All right. Go Dodger. A lot of excitement in the Dodger Nation this morning as the playoffs continue with the Braves coming to town in a couple of days. We'll talk to our friend Matt Money Smith from the Dodger Station, AM 570, coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on K-Rock, and talk about what's ahead. All right, Jensen, this is very exciting.
Yeah, my inaugural.
Your first ever.
Yeah.
Bean makes this guess. Hit it, Steve.
Bean makes this guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
Brr. Bean makes this guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Brr. Just wanna tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Bean makes this guess.
Yes.
Brr. don't really feel like those clips are appropriate for
perfect. Right
on brand.
Yeah. I said that this was a controversial list, and here's what I mean by that. If we're doing a list of the the top 10 highest grossing movies of all time, that's just facts and figures. That's just indisputable numbers. But once you get into opinion pieces, now you may argue with the results. This is the website Thrillist, Thrillist.com. Their editors got together and came up with in their opinion, the best HBO shows of all time. Mm-hmm. There's a list of the 30 best HBO shows of all time. Of course, HBO has been around for a long time, and at least the last 25 years or so, they've been one of the most prestigious networks on television. A lot of shows that win a lot of Emmys.
Premium television,
exactly. So that's what I'm going to be looking for. I've got the top 30 here, but we'll give you a point each for anything in the top 10 of the greatest HBO shows of all time. All right, the monkey's out. So, Allie, you are at the ceremonial head of the table. You get to go first. What say you?
Sopranos.
Sopranos comes in at number 2 on their list.
Wow, two.
Sopranos, which I think might be my number 1, by the way. But as I said, this is just an opinion piece. But yes, you are on the board. Mr. Jensen Karp.
I'll go 6 feet Under.
6 feet Under is a great guess. It did not make the top 10 on their list, though.
Unbelievable.
I know. 6 feet Under was number 11, so just outside.
That's a terrible start. I was so close.
It's okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
But great
By the way,
show.
My favorite, so it's out there.
That's your favorite of all the HBO shows.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Beer Mug.
Gotta go to the Larry Sanders Show.
Larry Sanders, number 5.
Nice.
And by the way, I have no qualms whatsoever about that being in the top 5. I think that's a great choice. All right, Muggs, you are on the board. Allie McKay.
The Wire.
Number 1.
Thank you.
You should watch it, Jensen.
Well, we'll get into that later. Get into that later.
All right. Allie is 2 for 2. Jensen.
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, you're not going to believe this.
Number 12?
Number 8.
Oh, I'll take
number
it.
Number 8. And I say that because I feel like it's so white hot right now that most people would expect that to carry over and have it be even higher, like in the top 5.
Sure.
Game of Thrones, number 8, according to Thrillist, is the greatest HBO shows of all time.
Okay.
All right. You guys are doing really, really well. Mugs.
I think this is more due to popularity than quality, but I'm going to go Entourage.
Not anywhere within
good
100 miles.
Great. Great. Sounds like women got to vote on this.
I don't think Entourage was even allowed to be considered
nice.
For the list because people had seen it, Beer Mug.
Just checking.
Yeah.
But a hilarious guess, which is what you're famous for. All right, Allie, can she keep your streak alive?
Let's go the polar opposite of Entourage and go Sex and the City.
What a great guess. Number 6, Sex and the City, on the greatest HBO shows of all time. You are 3 for 3, Jensen.
That's pretty good. I'll go Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Number 7 on the list. Wow, you guys are really filling in the top 10 here pretty well.
Hmm.
All right, Muggs, you've seen what winning looks like. Now it's your turn.
It's the sports management version of Entourage. We'll go Ballers.
What?
Nope.
What is...
No.
No. You know, that was the ads that HBO put out. It's the sports management Entourage. Tune
Look,
in.
I like Ballers, okay? But we're talking about the history of HBO.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a fine show. Is it one we're going to think fondly of in 5 years? That's what you got to look at. We're talking history here.
The Rock does have nice teeth.
Let's go around one more time. Allie?
I am trying to think of older HBO shows, and I just can't. And I'm was Dexter on Showtime?
Showtime.
Yeah.
Ah! Great show. I put it on the list. Dexter.
if that's your guess, no, I'm sorry. I can't. All right, Jensen,
this
you got
is very
a chance.
Close. I got a tie here.
All right.
I'm going to go Silicon Valley.
That is a good guess, but it's number 13.
You got close.
You got very close, yeah. Hey, look, there's a lot of shows. There's no shame in being just outside the top 10. All right, Muggs.
Suki Suki now. True Blood.
True Blood, believe it or not, is number 30 on their list.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
What are we missing?
All right, so game over. Allie, you won?
I did.
Yeah, 1 point.
All right. Some of the ones I thought you might come up with. Flight of the Conchords was at number 27. The Tenacious D Show at 25, by the way.
Hmm.
Here's one I'm surprised you didn't think of. And talk about polarizing. In fact, in the Thrillist piece, they said this was
Deadwood!
The most...
Wow. I mean, that was... I just freaked out.
Deadwood was number 4, by the way, Allie. Deadwood was number four. The controversial one that caused a fight in the room at Thrillist was Girls at 21. Oh, right. Because that was so polarizing with people. Ally Berry was number 20.
Oh, my.
Wow.
One season in. Impressive.
Extras was number 19.
Love Extras.
Great show.
Boardwalk Empire, 18.
Oh, how did I forget that?
Big Little Lies, 17. Mm-hmm. Some of the others on the list you might remember. True Detective at 15. Insecure at 14.
Love you, Issa.
And your top 10, Muggs, I'm surprised you didn't come up with this. Eastbound and Down at number 10.
Oh, I'm going to go kill myself.
Oh, all you have to do is eat lunch.
Then The Leftovers at number 9, which I never got. I never got The Leftovers. It wasn't for me. And I think we got most of the rest except for one. Game of Thrones, then Curb Your Enthusiasm, Sex and the City, Larry Sanders Show, Deadwood, and a little show at number 3 that nobody thought of called Veep.
What is wrong with us?
I was going to say Arliss at 3.
Then Sopranos, and then, of course, The Wire. This has been Bean Makes Us Guess.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
Got a brand new... Sorry, cartoon guy. Got a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup for you coming up next half hour here on K-Rock, including we'll have a discussion about... How would you get a full-grown bear out of your car? I don't think I approve of the way this family handled this one. Do you?
I wouldn't. I'd keep him in my car.
Just
and then,
drive with him?
Yeah, we'd be best friends.
You know what? Carpool lane.
Carpool lane, exactly. Yes. Anyway, some great videos we'll get to. And coming up right after 7, we're going to squeeze in another round. It's been a couple of weeks of Ally McKay Dream Interpreter.
Mm.
Ally, we found out, I don't know, only a couple of months ago that you have this ability, and I'm still shocked by it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, you tell me a dream that you've been struggling to find the meaning in, and I will help you out. I will point you in the right direction.
Great.
Absolutely.
Our listeners have been very surprised and grateful for the direction that you have given them so far.
It's a service and a gift that I don't take lightly.
All right. So if you want Ally to interpret your dream, call us now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll do it right after this edition of What's Happening here on a Tuesday.
Remember when Bono from U2 got in that bike accident in 2015?
Oh, it was awful. They had to cancel Acoustic Christmas that year?
Yeah. And we were like, how bad can a bike accident be? I mean, what's going on, Bono? You never really heard much about it, but the way that he is describing it now is concerning.
I do remember that he said he had to relearn how to play guitar or something because he damaged his hand so badly.
Well, now he's calling it a brush with mortality in which he, quote, nearly ceased to be.
Oh, Bono.
I don't know. I don't think Bono's the type to really say things that aren't true. Like he could have died.
But he does also have a God complex.
Yes. And he also forced an album onto my iPhone. And from that point on, I've been on
You're
Bono.
One of those that gets mad at music.
I don't know. Bono, it's just like everything is so epic for Bono.
Well, you aren't going to love these quotes because they're pretty epic.
Yeah.
I was on the receiving end of a shock to the system, a shock that left me clinging on to my own life. It was an arresting experience. I won't dwell in it or on it. I don't want to name it.
Oh, Bono, you dork.
Oh, how dare you.
I was on a bike and got in an accident.
He almost died, you guys. Here's what he says as well. There were some serious whispers in the ear that maybe I should have taken notice of. The Edge said I took my body as an inconvenience.
You can't take you serious when you're like, the Edge told me.
I really love being alive, and I'm quite good at being alive, meaning I like to get the best out of any day. It was the first time I put my shoulder to the door and it didn't open. I feel God whispered next to me. Next time, try knocking at the door or just try the handle. Don't use your shoulder because you'll break it.
Moron.
Come on!
Is he getting paid by the word in this interview?
He's writing lyrics.
Listen.
By the way, his real name is Paul. That says enough.
Well, of course.
You know what Edge's real name is?
David.
Like, these are humans.
Let them live. Jensen, let them live.
Look, I'm splitting the difference here. I agree that it sounds very pretentious the way Bono is describing it. He was in a bike accident, fine. And it was serious. Okay, happens to everybody. Mm-hmm. But I also love and respect Bono so much for so many reasons. And he's hilarious, and he does so much great stuff for the world, and he's written some of the greatest songs of all time. So I think I'm going to allow it.
I stand down. But I just think he takes it so... It's just like, anything for him. It's like a hangnail. He's like, and then I almost died. It's like, I can't do it with Bono. I mean, if it's not Africa, I don't want to listen. I don't want to listen about your problems.
That's Weezer.
Oh, right.
Yeah, very true. Different.
Sure.
Just saying. I love Bono. I'm glad he's alive. Sorry you want him dead, Jensen.
No,
it's Jensen Karp, everyone is listening. Jensen Karp hates Bono.
By the way, it's Manny from Modern Family that I want dead. What I'm saying about Bono is that I just think he should be more relaxed. That's all. Just calm down.
Just roll with the flow a little
bit. Yes.
All right.
Fair enough.
Coming up, I'm going to tell you some interesting things that Netflix is doing. Real interesting things. Like Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe type things.
Okay.
That's a good reference. Look it up. Good times. Hey, you want to talk about some birthdays?
Sure.
I mean, do we have a choice?
Brian Regan. Lorraine Bracco. Sting. Kelly Ripa. Annie Leibovitz. And that's what's happening.
Let me tell you why I'm excited about Ali the Dream Interpreter, mm-hmm. who we're going to do next here on K-Rock, is that the first call that we're going to take is going to be Mike, who has a dog wearing a MAGA hat in it.
Oh, okay.
A dog wearing a Make America Great hat in it. Huh. So you hang on, everybody else, if you want Ali to interpret your dream, if it's falling or naked or teeth, whatever's going on with you, she can help you interpret it. 1-800-520-1067. Your calls in moments right after this on K-Rock. You are minutes away from your tickets to Universal Studios Hollywood Horror Nights with Megan Holliday as she broadcasts live this Thursday. We've got them for you this hour on The Kevin and Bean Show. All right, Allie, how did you develop your gift? How did you become a dream interpreter?
Just one day we were talking about a segment, and I'm like, I can interpret dreams. And you said, what? And I'm like, trust me.
I'm happy we got that detail.
Yep. Yeah.
I am too. Well, you really fleshed it out for us.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go 1-800-520-1067. We promised Mike would get first crack at it. He's in Anaheim. He's on line two. He's the guy with the dog in the dream. Let's find out a little bit more. Mike, thank you for calling and holding on. You're on with Ali, the dream interpreter.
Awesome. I'm super excited.
All right.
Hi, Mike. What's your dream? What's your dream?
So my dream is, I have a dream my dream, my dog, an American Staffordshire, takes me out on a walk. And while we're walking, she's wearing a MAGA hat. Mm. And a weird detail about it is when I go do my business, every dream I have to go do my business, number two, and if I don't do it on the grass, I've done it on the sidewalk. She just barks at me the entire time.
Right.
So you and your dog switch places, basically, on a walk.
I hope, at least, for the dream. You don't do that in real life.
Well, all right. are you kink shaming me? That's not nice.
Allie, what do you make of that?
A lot of times when you dream about poop in any way, it's about fixing or having to clean something up. So what you are exhibiting here is there's something in your life that you're out of control with now. Because when it's the dog pooping, you clean it up, you fix it. But now it's you doing it, a dog having to fix it. You don't know how to go about that. So you're very nervous that you've done something that you can't fix.
Boom.
What about the hat?
The MAGA hat just means that you need to get a new dog because your dog is obviously a freak.
And a Republican.
Very weird. Very weird.
I thought it had to do with pooping, but thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Mike. By the way, I think I blew it before we went to Mike's call. We do have a big Omar intro. Let's hit that now.
Why can't my boobs get bigger?
Ali Dream Interpreter.
Woo! Don't pull out.
Ali Dream Interpreter.
Smell it.
Ali Dream Interpreter. Come on now, Ali.
Suck it.
Oh, that was so worth the wait.
That was
so
beautiful.
Worth it.
Yeah. That was stunning.
Yeah. Lexi is on line three. She is in Monrovia. She's going to challenge you with her dream. Lexi, good morning. You're on with Ali Dream Interpreter.
Good morning, you guys.
Good morning.
So my dream takes place in the 1920s, and I'm like super pregnant, bunch of kids running around, but I don't have anything remotely close lined up, like romantically, financially, education-wise. It's just a bizarre dream that keeps on happening.
Huh. All right, Lexi. What this means is you're thinking of a role in the 1920s, a woman maybe a little bit subservient, if you will. Her only role would be to have the kids, that type of thing. You feel like you're being held back in some part of your life, and you don't want that to happen, so you keep dreaming it, knowing it's not really there, but it's your subconscious way of saying you need to break out of whatever it is that you think is holding you back at the moment. What's holding you back, Lexi?
I'm having some trouble becoming a teacher, to be honest.
Yeah.
Passing that last CSET that California happened to change. So that is definitely holding me back.
That's the boulder in her path,
yeah.
Allie.
There it is.
That's your pregnant baby, is that teacher.
And the children running around. Right. It's almost a perfect metaphor.
Yeah,
you're
no
welcome.
Kidding. And do you have any relatives that have passed on with the letter B in their name? Or wait, are we doing something else?
No,
I'm sorry.
Totally different. Totally
All right, different. Lexi, thank you for the call. I hope that helps. Good luck being a teacher, too. I hope that works out for you. All right. How about a maybe turn this one down if the kids are in the car. Give us 1 minute with Valerie. Line four, she's in Linwood. She is up next with Allie on The Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, Valerie.
What you got?
So basically, I am trying to masturbate while in the shower in my old childhood home.
Oh.
But I have a bunch of different family members, about 50, coming in and out of the restroom, and some are trying to hold the shower curtain. I'm trying to keep the clothes, and it's just like a big old party in there while I'm trying to do my own stuff.
Yeah.
All right, let's not race through the details of this one. I want to make sure Allie has enough information to properly rule.
I think I'm good, Bean. I think I'm good. Here's the thing, Valerie. You're trying to get something done in your life, but a lot of people keep interrupting it, whether it's people that are telling you you're not doing it right, people that are telling you you should be doing other things. You need to stay the course. Don't listen to these other voices that are telling you you should be doing something else. You know what's best for you, and that's going to give you the best result. You know what I'm saying?
Also, maybe get a door lock.
That could help.
Yeah,
that
maybe
help.
It could mean that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll try that.
Great.
All right. Hey, call back early and often. Valerie, thank you. This has been Allie Dream Interpreter.
Allie Dream Interpreter.
We are the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ, and Melissa Harms from Covina just won her tickets to Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights. Our friend Megan Holliday is going to be broadcasting live out there on Thursday. Got more tickets you can win on the radio later and at KROQ.com. Hey, Dave, the King of Mexico.
Good morning.
Ready for a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup?
Hell yeah.
Hit it, Steve.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots of neat here viewing. Life so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
The Internet never stops making great videos, and it's tough to keep track of all of them. That's why we put the best viral videos of the week in one handy location at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. We got a couple we want to talk about before we play some audio. This was a very big video a few days ago. The guy is out on, is he in the ocean, Dave, or on a lake, or where is he?
Yeah, he's out just outside of New Zealand.
All right, and what happens?
A seal literally just comes up, uses an octopus, and slaps him in the face. He throws it at his face. He's a kayaker.
Usually when you describe a viral video, it doesn't, never as good as the video. The video is even better than what you said.
Yes.
It's incredible.
Why is the seal using a poor octopus as a weapon?
Because the seal's a dick.
And what do you suppose he was, I mean, why was he so antagonistic? I'm asking you to read a seal's mind now, by the way.
I asked so many questions because was this kayaker bugging the seal? Did he take some food from the seal? But the octopus is food, so why would the seal throw food at him?
Yeah, you would think that that's all the seal would care about is, hey, I got this yummy octopus for lunch. Why do you even care about the dude in the boat?
But that's how much he hates the guy.
I know.
That's true hatred.
And then the octopus is alive and then gets stuck to the kayak, and the guy freaks out and starts hitting the octopus. I was like, no, dude, keep it. Like, save it.
Yeah, there's a movie that needs to be made about this.
It would be seal and octopus versus man.
Yeah,
together.
This is the worst devil's triangle ever, you guys.
Speak for yourself.
All right. And thing two, before we get to the funny audio, is another animal video. And this is a family that they opened up the door at their home to take the kid in. And while they were had their backs turned, a bear climbed into their car and the door closed.
Yeah.
And these morons, as Allie pointed out earlier, rather than do the right thing, which is call animal control and say, hey, we pay you to take care of situations like this. Come get this bear out. They decide that they're going to go and try to figure out a way to prop the door open so that the bear can get out. But every time they do that, the door closes again.
Yeah, it's like a Benny Hill sketch. Yeah.
So who ends up smashing the window? Does the owner of the car smash the window or does the bear smash the window?
The bear freaks out and crushing the car.
Yeah, it's a bear.
Yeah, a big bear.
It's unbelievable to see this video. These people are asking to be eaten, though.
Listen, I would try to do the same thing and open up the door because this is going to be the end result regardless. If you wait for animal control, same thing's going to happen. The bear's going to freak out and just smash out all the windows.
No. Call a professional. They'll get it done and stay in your house.
No, but what I'm saying is, yeah, sure, you put yourself in danger, but the car is going to get wrecked regardless. So
like Street Fighter 2?
Yes, exactly.
What I think is the less you antagonize them, the less likely is to beat up your car. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, he maybe just wants to lounge.
Listen, man, you haven't seen all these bear videos that when they get into cars?
No, I haven't. Weirdo.
They mess up cars.
Yeah.
Don't let a bear in your car, people.
Why are you sighing, Allie?
I wish it was me. I would have opened the door and been like, let's hug. You know me and bears. That's how I want to go out. I want to die hugging a bear.
Yeah.
Because then you got the hug.
She died doing what she loves.
Yes. I love bears so much.
I think it's time for a documentary called Grizzly Woman now.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Let's get into some audio here. Jimmy Kimmel has a couple of great videos in this week's roundup. He had a great idea the other night because it was the 20th anniversary of the founding, or I should say, the release of Google. Before then, we had other search engines, but Google really changed the world in terms of now there's never a question that can't be answered. You just type it in and you get an answer back in half a second. What if there weren't no Google? Jimmy Kimmel went out on the street with his microphone and asked people in front of his studio the kinds of questions we ask Google, and let's see what kind of answers they came up with.
Why is there daylight savings time?
Something about the way that the Earth rotates. So we don't get, so like it wouldn't be dark during the day.
Who invented the internet?
Yeah, I don't know. Jesus, I don't know.
Jesus invented the internet?
Yeah, he invented everything.
What is a good credit score?
Above 70.
How do you get rid of bed bugs?
Ooh, throw the bed away.
Who invented the internet?
This is gonna be wrong. Teddy Roosevelt. That's wrong. He was light bulbs, I think.
Double down.
Oh,
that's
no.
Right.
Oh.
He was light bulbs. I would be willing to give up the real Google for a day, and just if I could type in and have those people answer my questions, I think I would love it so much.
Oh, remember encyclopedias?
Yeah, I do.
Like, you used to be like, well, who did this? Then you'd go look it up alphabetically, and then you'd read the page.
Insane.
Yes.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
What a day.
Well, we all came of age in the 19th century, Dave.
Yeah.
Interesting that Dave puts the roundup together, and there's a Kristen Bell clip in here.
Oh, yeah.
She is a guest on Seth Meyers' show, and he reminds everybody that she was also the narrator on the very popular Gossip Girl show, and he thought it'd be fun to hear her read some of the president's tweets in the voice of Gossip Girl, and it was.
Who can figure out the true meaning of Covfefe? Enjoy XOXO Gossip Girl. These do sound like the things that were written on the show.
And this is just like a personal thing for me. As a Gossip Girl fan, just to hear my voice in your voice will be an honor.
Congratulations to Seth Meyers on Emmy's rating tumble. Just as I predicted, Seth bombed. XOXO, Gossip Girl.
Thank you, Kristen Bell. By the
I
way,
miss Gossip Girl.
That was a great show. And Kristen Bell is one of the A-plus TV talk show guests of all time.
Yeah,
she never is not great.
She delivers.
She's on a show.
I wish she'd be an A-plus radio guest.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Thanks, Dave.
Stop Dave's, creeping her out.
Right? Oh, interesting. Dave put the roundup together. Now there's a Hayley Williams video here.
This one's good, though.
Dear.
She, of course, the singer from Paramore, and she is doing an ASMR video, which is also an unboxing video, which is also a watching a hot chick eat video. I mean, it has everything rolled into one. What we got to talk about one day, the people who are super turned on or relaxed or whatever is supposed to happen for these ASMR videos. But here's some of Haley.
Hi, guys. It's Haley from Paramore, but also from Good Die Young. And today I wanted to show you our new packaging. And I'm also going to eat breakfast because I haven't yet. So hope you don't mind.
And people enjoy hearing and watching this. She's having breakfast.
Okay.
Eating chips.
Mmm, what a great breakfast.
Guys, I have a weird confession.
Uh-oh. You're liking this?
Okay.
I've never liked these before, and now that I don't see the video, I think I'm feeling cool about it.
Oh!
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's like, it's supposedly like a thing.
Yeah, it tingles.
I think I just got it.
Yeah?
Really?
I really do. I can't, I guess I can't watch it.
Right.
But if I just hear it, I felt all the weird things.
Oh. That is so interesting. It's completely escaped me what is supposed to happen.
I'll tell you, because it just happened.
It happened to you, right?
It like felt super giddy and weird, and then the back of my neck got all tense, and my shoulders got all tense.
And it's not even a serious one.
No, that was, but I really felt it.
I know, but what I'm saying is that wasn't even a serious take on ASMR.
No, because I've watched them before and been like, oh, and I'm like, idiots. But I think because I'm really focused on the video and I'm watching it. But then when I just heard it, I got all giddy.
I wonder if the headphones play a part,
too. Yeah, maybe.
Oh, yeah. They say that's supposed to be the best.
When do we get off air?
Oh, no.
Did you tingle in your personal parts, too?
The whole thing.
Okay.
My arms are all weird.
Dave, I'm sure you've ordered Haley's hair dye, too, which is what she's trying to promote there.
Yeah, I'm not even dyeing my hair, but I just buy it.
And finally, one more. Again, back to Mr. Kimmel, the best late-night talk show host. He has an ongoing series that is tremendous, which is Snoop Dogg narrating nature videos. Now, I get the impression that Snoop sits down and has probably never seen this video before. And this is just the way he talks and just the way he sees things. And this is a night vision fight between a bat and a scorpion. And it really comes to life when the dog does it.
Uh-oh. Batman. That's a big-ass bat, too. He makes a smooth landing. Look like he's eyeballing something. What? Ooh, do you see the fang on that thing? Is that a scorpion? Watch out, cuz. Back up. Yeah, cuz you big don't mean nothing, cuz you may get hit. See, that scorpion tail is vicious. One thing about a scorpion, he's not big in size, but he packs a big punch. When he get that thing into you, if he can get that clip into him, damn. Yeah, there you go. Tenderize him, bake him, shake him. You ain't getting away from him, nephew. No, no, no. Oh, we hit him with the pin, but is it working? The bat can't see, though. That's one thing about the bat. He ain't got no eyes. He can't see what he's saying. Eat his ass up. Eat up, young man. Bye-bye, bitch. And fly off with it and feed the rest of the bats. Rest in peace.
That is a dramatic conclusion to that video. Check those out and all the rest at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
We were talking about Christmas songs earlier. You know, 'tis the season where the new ones are being announced. I am already pre-sad there will be no Killers Christmas song this year being released on December 1st, like they've done for the last 11 years in a row.
Why not?
Because they're done. They finished it. They said that when we asked Brandon about it, he said that was our goal, is to make an album's worth and then be done with it. And now, of course, you know, they hope that they continue to sell those songs to raise money for their AIDS charity. Yeah. But wasn't that always so fun to wait for the new Killers Christmas song every year?
Well, now you have William Shatner featuring Henry Rollins. Mm-hmm. It's just replacing it for you.
Which is just as good.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much for tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show. We appreciate you spending part of your day with us here on a Tuesday. I had an incident happen. This will shock you the other day. I was not in my house.
Oh.
I was at a diner having a breakfast by myself. Like I do. I take a book and I go and I order my omelet and I sit there and I have the time of my life and I love it. The table behind me had a couple, an older couple, sitting there, and one of the phones rang. And it's annoying enough when somebody's phone rings out loud. I just feel like there are a lot of places that you go where maybe you turn that off so it can't ring out loud.
Sure.
FYI, I have no tones on my phone. I have no, there's not, it's always silent.
Really?
Yeah. Oh wait, I can't stand the sounds of ringing.
Even a little buzz. You don't want to hear that.
No, I don't even like the vibrations.
How do you know when your phone rings, Jensen?
Yeah, I'll see it at some point. Yeah, at some point I'll see it.
All right, so not only does the phone ring, which is disturbing, and by the way, I should say, because I think it does make a difference in this story, I'm not eating at a super fancy restaurant with, you know, cloth napkins and waiters and, you know, fancy and things like that, okay?
Those are the two things I think of when I think of fancy cloths and waiters.
I'm eating in a diner, okay? I'm eating in a diner. So it's the kind of place where you expect a certain amount of noise, and, you know, maybe you let the kids get away with a little bit more noise. It's not stuffy. Okay.
Yeah, not a place with, like, forks.
We're eating with our hands.
Cups. Okay. Right. There's no cups.
So the phone rings, and I'm annoyed enough, and then the guy puts it on speakerphone.
Oh, that's
insane.
And then it's a pre-recorded credit card solicit call. Hi, this is Rachel from Card Services. I'm calling to tell you how you can lower the interest rate on your credit card. If you'd like to hear more, press 1. Why is he playing that for the room?
So many things that a monster would do. Why would he even want to? This calls a solicitation. Hang up.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Ugh. So he hits one, and then it asks some other question.
No,
I don't remember what it was.
No.
And then he hits another number. So now he's actively trying to get somebody on the phone. He's sitting, and by the way, I turn around to give him the stink eye. Mm-hmm. I don't even need to, because the woman that he's with is horrified. She's sitting there across from him, seeing this guy put this display on. She's furious at him. She's like waving her arms around, going, stop, 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 stop. This guy's going through the menu.
May I ask his approximate age?
I think he and his lady were both in their 70s.
Oh, see, that changes it for me.
My phone just talks to me. He's like an older guy.
Oh, really? That's so interesting. Old people aren't required to have some sort of decency and etiquette?
I feel like a lot of times when you hear people on a speakerphone, it's older people that don't know
they're on
a speakerphone.
They don't know the etiquette?
Yeah, they literally don't know that it's on speakerphone because their hearing isn't quite there.
Yeah, recently on a plane, I sat next to someone in his late 20s.
Oh.
And that person talked on FaceTime out loud to someone for maybe 5 to 10 minutes, somewhere in between. Just in FaceTime, no headphones or anything, then just watched a music video out loud on speaker
after
that.
That's awful. Yeah, I'm at least giving old people the old out.
Okay, so 20s, murder button, 70s, let's wait and hear more.
A little bit, yeah.
All right, so now he's navigated the menu, and now the lady picks up and says, hi, this is so-and-so, may I help you? And he says, you need to effing stop calling me.
Grampy.
And she says, I'm just calling to offer this discount on your credit card. He's like, this is the third time you people have effing called me today.
Pop, pop.
And she's like, I don't think you need to talk to me like that, sir. Now, again, I'm close enough that I'm hearing both sides of this conversation, which I have no business being a part of. I don't think you need to speak with me that way, sir. And he says, listen to this. And then he screams practically,
what?
F you! And slams down the phone.
All right. He's bad grandpa.
Sort of my spirit animal, though.
And his lady is like, why are you doing that? Oh, my God, why? That was so wrong. That was so inappropriate. And everyone in the restaurant obviously has heard the whole thing. There's no way to have not heard it. It was so loud. And I guess what my question is, should I have done anything or said anything or just ignored it like it didn't happen and assumed that he had already gotten the message because the person he was with was embarrassed? Or is that the type of thing where you should, not me or anyone, should go up and say, hey, you know, for next time, maybe don't pick up that call, or maybe don't have it on speakerphone, or maybe just some sort of really, really, you don't have to be rude about it, but really, really uncool to subject all the diners in this restaurant to that personal business.
My main thing is I kind of give him a pass because it's relatable.
Yeah, he had it.
Do you know what
it.
I mean? He had it with this call.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like he just took a phone call with his, like, sad little grandson.
Right.
I relate to him.
Because he was breaking down.
Exactly. Yeah. To telemarketing.
Right.
We all can relate to that.
Look,
God bless this old man.
No
and
one
his
should
weird
have...
diner food.
Old man 2020.
Yeah. We already did that.
No one has more sympathy. Jensen, you don't know this about me, but I'm a robot who doesn't cry.
Yeah.
except when I get into a loop with a telemarketer or any kind of a business that I have to call. Like if I need 35 minutes to get to whoever I want at DirecTV, I really will contemplate hanging myself. I get so sad and literally weep. So I have respect for what he's going through. I know how annoying telemarketers are.
Yeah.
But I have more respect for the sanctity of being able to have a quiet omelet and read a book.
Yeah.
So I didn't say anything, and I felt like that was the right call to not say anything. But I also feel like, am I a bad citizen for not at least pointing out to maybe help the next person avoid the situation that I was in? Should I have said something to the guy? It sounds like you guys are both saying, no, give him a pass.
What would you have said? Let's play it out.
I would have said, I know that was upsetting for you.
Where's my pancakes?
That's probably how it would have gone. All right, I made the right choice. Thanks. Allie, what's happening?
What's happening is Venom comes out on Friday. They had their big red carpet premiere last night.
I don't get Venom.
You don't?
I don't understand it. Is it part of the Marvel Universe?
Yep.
Yes.
Have we seen him in any of the Marvel movies before?
Yeah.
Spider-Man.
Well, definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
I think he, wasn't he the guy from the 70s show? Wasn't, what's that guy's name?
Topher Grace.
Yeah. Didn't Topher Grace show up? And then he was like a bad guy, but then he also wore like a black Spider-Man suit. Yeah, that happened. I'm getting a thumbs up. So basically, he wore the Venom suit, mm-hmm. and he was the host of the Venom suit. Mm-hmm. But Venom can be a lot of different people, but in this case, Tom Hardy.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
Yes.
And it's some sort of a deal where sometimes he walks around like a regular person, then sometimes he just turns into that beast.
And has that
with all the teeth.
Yeah, and the tongue.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Tongue.
All right. Yeah. So Venom, that's coming out this weekend. All right, go on.
And then another Marvel movie's coming out, A Star is Born.
Yes, very similar.
Go see that. It's another Marvel
movie. Also a crazy tongue in that.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, very odd. Well, here's the thing. They've been doing the rounds, doing all of the interviews, whatnot. And one interview in particular was getting a lot of play the last couple days. It was Tom Hardy being interviewed alongside his co-star Riz Ahmed. And they were asked about their favorite scene from the movie. And Tom Hardy gave a, let's just say, a not exactly PR-approved response.
What was your favorite scene to film?
Well, there are scenes that aren't in this movie. There are like 30, 40 minutes worth of scenes that aren't in this movie.
Really? Yeah. Are your favorite ones?
Yeah, all of them, yeah. Like mad puppeteering scenes, like dark like comedy scenes, you know what I mean, that just never made it. Mm-hmm. You know, like they are just pure.
Yeah, but that's
for me.
That's what's in your, in terms of you enjoyed filming them.
Doesn't mean that they were any good, is what you're saying. Is that what you're saying? They weren't no good.
Well, if they didn't make it to the film, probably they weren't any good, bro. I hate to break it to you.
So Riz kind of starts joking about it because Riz Ahmed already sees the headlines. Tom Hardy says all his best scenes were cut.
Yeah.
Which is, of course, what happened. People started with the, you know, the think pieces. Is this Marvel's first misstep? Why is Venom so bad? You know, before anyone ever saw the movie. So God bless whoever this reporter is at IGN last night on the red carpet. He wound up just asking Tom Hardy point blank to explain that interview, and I think maybe just from Tom's words at the beginning, he got a stern talking to.
No, this got me saying, all right, yeah, no, let me just, okay, so, yeah, all right, yeah, some, I think that's been misunderstood. What I'm trying to say is, and the question was whether or not is there any scenes that I was most excited in shooting, and I was like, there's a bunch of stuff that hasn't made the movie, and I think I'm talking as an actor point of view, so what I'm saying is that I had a lot of time improvising and a lot of freedom to play with Venom. Okay, so in honesty, there's probably about 7 hours or more worth of footage of me playing as Venom and enjoying myself, do you know what I mean? And when I was doing it, I took him right out there and played with it and had a lot of fun, because there's a lot of fun that you can have with the project and with this character, and I've done that. But that, and me and the other executive producers know full well that has nothing to do with what's in our story, do you know what I mean? But nevertheless, you know, would I like to watch a 7-hour version of Venom? Yeah.
I'm so dizzy.
It's the greatest spinning ever. I loved it so much. Oh.
You didn't answer anything.
No, but he then later clarified and said, everything I want is in and more. But he was obviously caught off guard.
Yeah.
Wasn't quite sure how to word it. But my God, I could watch him spinning. What? For hours. I love him so much.
You're absolutely right, though, that he had a talking to.
Oh, yeah.
He was.
But they didn't give him talking points.
No.
Right.
No.
True.
No. I'm just saying. It's a lot right there.
You are very in love with Tom Hardy.
Oh, my God. He's the greatest ever. Are you kidding? By the way, him on Peaky Blinders, one of the roles of a lifetime for him.
That, I guess.
Well, we'll never know.
I hate you.
I mean, we were going to watch it. I heard it was good, but then I met you.
This is a crazy story about Netflix. They're reportedly adding an interactive element to a crop of new specials that will allow the viewer to influence the outcome of certain storylines. An episode of Black Mirror will feature, quote, live action interactive programming in the show's fifth season, which is expected to debut sometime in December. So basically, you're going to have like 10 to 15 second choices in each episode with your remote to go on to an ending.
I don't like it.
It's crazy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be that good.
Like,
I don't
choose your own adventure.
Yeah.
Because you watch shows that are made by people who are smarter, more clever, and more creative than you because of their vision.
Right.
I don't know what I get out of it by me directing the story.
But have you ever watched a movie before and wondered what would have happened if something went a little different?
Yes. What if in Pretty in Pink, Andy decided, you know what? I'm not going to go out and chase Blaine out to the car. It's Ducky. I deserve Ducky, which was the original ending of Pretty in Pink. Except people in the theater were like, F this. Why is she with Ducky? This is so dumb. So they changed it to her. Her and Blaine. Blaine, that's the name of an appliance.
You've been carrying this around a long time.
That was a soliloquy.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I might try it out. It's not something I would have ever asked for, but yeah. I guess if that option is available, yeah, I guess you could watch and see what happens next. Okay.
I have a different idea for the ending of Schindler's List.
Oh, dear.
Do you guys want to hear it?
Nope.
No.
Okay, mm-mm. Fair enough.
So Netflix remains the 800-pound gorilla of the streaming world. Here's an unbelievable number. Video from the service consumes a significant 15% of all internet bandwidth globally. That's the most of any single application. That's a staggering number. Here in the U.S., Netflix grabs an even bigger slice of the bandwidth pie, 19.1% of all downstream traffic.
So one in five computers that are watching anything. Mm-hmm. Are watching Netflix.
And it's only going to get worse once Disney rolls out its streaming.
Absolutely.
And everybody has all these streaming services. It's going to take up a ton of the internet.
Yeah.
What do we do? Do we ask Al Gore for more?
Well, no, they say that that's what the net neutrality terribleness is.
Oh, no.
Ugh. It's a dystopian, terrible universe. Anyway, I'm going to click a different ending for it.
So. Okay, cool. Yeah. And a poll of British adults found out that they spend 24 hours per year searching for the perfect thing to stream on Netflix. That's not even watching. You're just trying to figure out what to watch. 24 hours a year trying to figure out what to watch.
I have found myself flipping through at least 200 shows on Netflix.
And not deciding, right?
Have you guys done that too?
Yes.
That's what watching Netflix is for.
It's
me. You guys, I'll turn to my fiance. You want to watch Netflix? And then we just see the little button. So we go, okay, good night.
That's insane. Yeah. Can I suggest to you, Bean, I've mentioned the show so many times, and you're always like, I don't understand. Where's True TV? I can't figure it out. The show I'm Sorry on True
TV.
Yes,
with Andrea Savage.
Andrea Savage just hit Netflix yesterday. So
okay.
The whole first season is on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. That came up in my queue last night, and I kept on going.
Yep. I'm telling you,
for something else.
There you go.
Put it on your wish list. It is one of the funniest shows out there.
Do you know how many times I've seen the button for Amazing Interiors and went, I want to watch that, and then I just keep moving?
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. Don't want to watch it.
So maybe we're more than 24 hours.
Yeah. Oh,
Those are just British people.
Yeah, I think that's what 19% of my internet usage is, just checking buttons.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's insanity. All right, some birthdays for you. Sting, Lorraine Bracco, Kelly Ripa, Annie Leibovitz, and Brian Regan. And that's what's happening.
Thank you. A lot of complaints this morning, by the way. It's already after 8 a.m. and no Halloween spooks.
Halloween, Halloween, ooh, Halloween. Ghostly things are gonna happen.
Sing it if you know it.
Ooh, ooh, Halloween spooks outside my window. Tree. I wish that the children could see, but I can't find them for the life of me.
Jensen, you haven't been with the show long, but we do regularly bring you the greatest hits of 1962.
No, perfect.
With Halloween spooks.
That's what the kids call a bop.
I just want to know, Allie, how long do we have to wait before we get into some two eyeballs?
I feel like October 1st, the door is wide open. It's been kicked down.
Because we do kind of live in a world now where the holidays all run together.
Him talking over that part.
Amazing. Yeah.
I mean, once it's October 1st, it is Halloween. You no longer have to wait till like the 24th or something like that, right?
She's having a seizure.
This goes on. Yeah. See, they're making ghostly sounds, Jensen.
They're gargling.
This is Kevin's favorite part. I'm sad he's not here for this.
He gets so bad.
This is not even a song. It's someone just completely breaking down.
Yeah.
But it does come back around.
Okay. Wait, so what was there an era in music where Halloween jams were like a thing?
Like
Monster Mash.
Yeah, Monster Mash and this. And what's Two Eyes? Is that another one?
Two Eyeballs.
I feel like we dedicate a segment tomorrow just to that.
I think that's a good idea. Yeah. All right, hold on. Big finish, because I love this one.
Okay, fair.
By the way, I would also, my memory could be faulty on this, but when I started bringing in Halloween spooks decades ago, I think a lot of our listeners hated it as much as Kevin did, but I think we just beat the love into them.
Turned them around.
Yeah.
Yes, because you hate it the first time, you hate it the 10th time, you hate it the 50th time, the 70th time, you go, you know what?
I like
that. It's kind of catchy.
I will think, too, I got a question for the lyrics. Maybe it's a horse outside, not Halloween spooks.
Well, there's something going on.
Well,
I'll tell you that.
Things are
going
to happen.
Yeah. Right.
So.
Well, anyway, I'm happy that the season is here because I enjoyed that very much. And we'll be sure to play it a lot when Kevin returns from vacation on Monday. All right, let's talk about the topic on the table here. I don't know that we've done this one before. We're going to be looking for your calls at 1-800-520-1067. How did this get started? Is it, as I'm guessing, that Allie said something about Peaky Blinders? Is that where it came from?
She's just one of the people who does something like this. Mm-hmm. It's people who repeatedly tell you that something on television or a movie or an album is so incredible. It's so good. You can't miss it. You haven't seen it. You haven't heard it. What are you doing? Go home and watch it now. And it's probably great. Mm-hmm. It's probably because you've heard it a million times. It's probably, but you know what? You've ruined it for me. Now I don't want to see it.
Really?
And I feel like that happens in my life with The Wire. Right?
Oh.
People. But why would you put, if somebody knows you, if you're friends with somebody and they know your taste and they know that you would enjoy it, what makes you rebel against that?
One time.
Good advice.
Tell me one time, Bean. Tell me one time that I'd love The Wire. Don't see me a couple days later and go, you like The Wire yet? I haven't watched The Wire yet. You told me it was good a couple days ago. And also, people about Game of Thrones. That's another one, right? Mm-hmm. People go, you don't watch Game of Thrones? What are you? Well, what's going on? And then they say, I don't, it's really confusing. And it's slow at first, but you got to stick with it. No, that sounds like torture.
Right.
I don't want to do that ever. Like, just recommend something I'm going to like always or right from the start. And now I don't want to watch it. Thanks for ruining it.
Actually, how I pitch Peaky Blinders, I say, stay through the first one because it's a little slow.
No.
But I'm telling you, by the time you watch the second one, you're going to watch the third one, fourth one, and then you have watched all four seasons.
So what
it's
do you want me to do?
Phenomenal.
You want me to have a bad time to get to a good time?
Just one episode.
No.
One episode.
I think that's fair, by the way, because there are some shows that have a lot of exposition in the first episode, a lot of setup, and then they get into a groove. And I totally get that.
Well,
and
recommend it once.
I wouldn't have any problem, Allie, if that's what you had said about Peaky Blinders and then kind of had left it up for those of us who have free will to either choose to watch it or not. But you have become one of those people who I think you have it set on your iCal. It's been 24 hours. Make sure the guys know about it.
Okay, I understand that. But have I steered you wrong with shows like, I don't know, Killing Eve?
Well, no.
Have I steered you wrong with shows like, I don't know, Barry?
But how many times have you brought that up?
742.
Right. Well, that's the issue, because then it makes me not want to watch it. It has nothing to do with the show. It becomes about you. I don't want to watch it because you keep telling me.
I will say, and again, we're going to take your calls on this. If you have friends or family or coworkers who are always trying to get you to do or see or go somewhere and watch something, and you won't because of the pressure, 1-800-520-1067. I'll just speak for Kevin since he's not here. He would have no opinion on Taylor Swift at all. She wouldn't even be on his radar right now because he's not a big fan of that kind of pop music.
Right.
Except for the fact that I love her so much. He has built up a force field of hate around him. About Taylor Swift. Like, he despises her now. He doesn't even listen to her music. He just despises her because he's got a guy at work that won't shut up about her. And that's kind of what we're talking about here, right?
That's it.
All right, Chip, what happened to you?
So this is the band, and I've come around since then. But My Chemical Romance. Mm-hmm. I was in high school when emo and screamo were first coming out, and I had people at school who were so obsessed with that band.
Yeah.
Like, wearing the shirts, like, nonstop talking about, you know, I'm not okay, and writing, like, lyrics on their folders. Like, they were in my face. I was like, oh my god, these albums are great! And I just couldn't.
Don't want to hear them.
No one here. And for years, like, finally it took maybe 4 or 5 years ago where I went on my own and listened. I'm like, oh, this band's actually pretty good.
If one more white guy tells me that I have to hear Radiohead, I'm gonna fall off a cliff on purpose. Don't tell me. Tell me one time. I appreciate your suggestion. Bye. That's it.
Is some of it, and we'll get right to your calls here. Oh, sorry. Ouch. Is some of it, Linda? You hang on. We're gonna get to you first.
Right? Let's tackle this.
Speaking of tackled, what just happened?
Is some of it that we also live in a world where it's not just your friends and coworkers and people in real life, but that you have to see all the think pieces and all the hype pieces and all the posts about it, and that kind of adds to I hate to keep using the word pressure, but you know what I mean. The buildup, the expectation gets more and more and more because it's in your face all the time.
Yes, I don't want to be told I can make my own decision. Mm-hmm. Just explain it and walk away. You don't get paid if I see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not like a recommendation for Cutco knives. Like, I there's a very random reference.
Really good reference.
The idea. It's a real reference. It works. But I what I'm saying is I don't need you to necessarily follow up.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what
okay.
I mean?
Right.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. Explained well. 1-800-520-1067. Let's see what Linda has to add to the conversation. She's on line 3 and she is in Agora. And I almost broke my hand moving the microphone to get to Linda's call. So I hope it's going to be worth it.
My dad has been telling me for years that Oh Brother, Where Art Thou was like the best movie ever made. Mm-hmm. And every time I would see him, he would quote parts of it and he'd like do the little voices and, you know, oh, Flapper, it's a Draper Dan man or something. I don't even remember. So finally we watch it. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is horrible.
he's dedicated most of his life for you to watch it, and you hate it.
But I bet
and then
that's
finally.
I was just going to say, Linda, I bet that's the case, especially with cult movies. The people who have built their personality around The Big Lebowski, you can't like it enough for that person.
No, not at all. Unless I'm drinking a white Russian in a robe and talking about all my bowling scores. No, I'm going to watch it. Thanks.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So you and your dad are still speaking with one another? Did you guys survive that?
We did. And he's like, really? You didn't like it? I go, Dad, first of all, you already told me basically the entire plot of the movie over the last 10 years. So thanks. But
that's it.
We're good.
All right. Thank you, Linda. Appreciate the call. 1-800-520-1067. What is it you're being forced to like by everyone you know? We'll take your calls next on K-Rock. Matt Money Smith from your LA Dodgers station, AM 570, is going to join us in about 50 minutes or so here on K-Rock. Talk about the big win yesterday and look ahead toward the Braves series. Right now, though, we are talking about you have built a force field around yourself because people keep insisting that you watch or do or read or go somewhere or like something and you just don't want to. That's what's going on with our man Dustin in Fullerton. He's on line 7 up first on the Kevin and Beach Show. Hey, Dustin.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing great. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate you calling. What is it people will not shut up to you about?
First time caller, a long time listener. It's that stupid game Fortnite.
Yeah, he's right.
I've had like probably literally 20 people come up to me in person and tell me, you know, this game's so great. And I've like, aside from the hundreds of ads I've seen online and stuff. And I feel like even if I did enjoy it, if I, you know, started playing it, I'd feel like I just only started playing because they told me to or whatever. I don't know. I don't want to give them the satisfaction.
He's right. He's right. It's not worth it.
And by the way, that's anything that gets hot fast, like Pokemon Go or HQ Trivia, whatever it is, when it's everywhere around you all the time, I think there is some sort of a resistance to that sometimes.
Absolutely.
And, yeah. And the truth is, if you had just come across Fortnite and started playing it, you might have loved it, right?
Totally, yeah. But now I feel like they're forcing me to play it.
Yeah, now you're like the 30-year-old with fidget spinners.
All right. Fair enough, Dustin. I'm glad you finally called after all these years. We appreciate you, sir. 1-800-520-1067. More calls next, right here on the world-famous K-Rock. We're talking about how, by the way, just got a tweet, Rick and Morty fans, they're the worst, right?
Fandom. Szechuan sauce.
They are the CrossFitters of the cartoon world. Yeah, that's for sure.
All I know is I don't want to hear poopy butthole or whatever it is that the show is talking about. I don't want to hear anything ever again.
Even though in a different universe with a different set of people around you, Jensen, you might have tuned into Rick and Morty and just enjoyed it on your own.
By the way, I'm sure it's great. Right. I'm probably missing out. But you know what? I don't like you. And now I don't want to watch anything you watch.
So that's what we're talking about, is just too much pressure from too many people to watch a thing or see a thing or do a thing, and you just won't do it. This is an interesting one, by the way. I think you guys will enjoy Christine. She's on line 4. She's got a very unique story to share with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Christine, go ahead, please.
Hi. So when I was pregnant with my son, one of the names on my short list of names for him was Ryan, because that was my mother's maiden name. But every time I talked to my mother on the phone, she kept saying, "How about Ryan? How about Ryan? What about Ryan as a name? Have you thought of Ryan? I think Ryan would be a really good name." And after a while, I was just like, "No, if you have just guaranteed that that will not be the name, I'm crossing it off the list. Stop it."
Yep, she killed it. And she killed it for you. And if she had said it one time, you would have left it on the list and probably considered it.
Probably.
Yeah. Yep, perfect example.
What name did you go with?
James.
James.
You sound unimpressed, Jensen. James is a lovely name.
I wanted it to be a little more like antagonistic to the mom.
Oh, I see. Like not Ryan?
My child's name is not Ryan.
Not Ryan. Would have been a great name. All right. Thank you for the call. I appreciate that. By the way, Pirate writes in, Fight Club. Everyone was hyping this movie for years. I finally watched it, and it totally sucked.
Shouldn't even be talking about it.
No.
That's what I've heard. All right. Let's get back to TV for a second, line 3. Give me some Alexa, please. Los Angeles up next. And then, Karen, you hang on. We're coming to you right after. Alexa, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's the thing?
Hi. The thing is, This Is Us.
Yep. Too much TV.
I cannot. Yeah. I just, like, every time I see anybody, like my dad, especially my boyfriend, like, I have time over there, like, can we turn it on? Can we watch it? It's so good. And now it's, like, getting to the point where they're, like, using reverse psychology, like, you won't be able to handle it, thinking that's going to make me change my mind, and it's not.
May I say, Alexa, I really think you'd like it.
No, you are the queen of doing it.
I think you'd love it.
I will never watch it for that reason.
Great show.
But do you think this is part of it, Alexa, is that This Is Us was a rare broadcast out-of-the-gate sensation on the first night it aired. It was one of those rare shows that happens anymore where everybody was talking about it the next day, and it just like blew up out of nowhere, and it almost like it got overhyped before some people even got a chance to see it, right?
Yeah, it's like almost kind of like a brainwashing thing. Like, I feel like now at this point, even if I watched it and I didn't really like it, I've been socialized to think it's so great that now it's just kind of, I just don't trust it.
Don't trust it.
She doesn't trust herself anymore with This Is Us.
All right. Great call. We appreciate you so much. Thank you. I promise Karen would have the next word. Laverne, line 2, up next on the Kevin Beecher. Hey, Karen.
Hello.
All right. What have you been overhyped on? What do people insist that you like?
They insist that I like Michael Jackson.
Oh, hot take.
He's the king of pop, and how can you not?
I got a couple of reasons.
Okay, those reasons aside, Jensen, as a musician,
he's the greatest,
right?
I don't know. He just creeps me out.
She has a good point there.
Understandable.
So, yeah. Karen, okay. In other words, this is one of those deals where you just can't separate the person from the art. Even if you ordered, like, you would love the song Billie Jean if it weren't by somebody who touched kids.
Correct.
Allegedly.
Yes. Okay. That's fair enough. I mean, I think that gets into a different category. She's not just basing it on the art itself. I understand. All right. Thank you for the call. I appreciate that. Let's do one more. Make it Gretchen, line 7, please. Gretchen joins us from Encino, and I know that there are going to be a lot of listeners who are going to be very upset with her at the end of this call. Go ahead, Gretchen.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Morning.
Good. Great.
All right, if I hear anything else about Harry Potter, I'm going to rip my hair out.
I mean, Harry Potter is the defining story for an entire generation of people.
That's a sad thing to hear. Gretchen, I'm with you.
Zero interest.
Oh, my God. It's just kids with superpowers and, like, wands, and they wear striped scarves. I just can't stand it.
Even creepier, the adults that are like, ooh, what were you sorted into? F off.
Points for Gryffindor.
Yeah.
And then they touch their little glasses in the middle.
I'm with you, Gretchen.
Let's play Quidditch. Dude, come on. We're grown men.
Enough.
Yeah.
Sorted in Hufflepuff.
Thank you.
Shut up, Dave. Okay, so it sounds like you have a room of supporters here who are really just poo-poo all the Harry Potter fans.
Yeah.
I love it. Harry Potter's the dumbest thing. I don't want to go to Harry Potter Land at Universal. I don't want to wear a cape. Like, it's so stupid.
Gretchen, can I introduce you to a show called Peaky Blinders?
Oh, shut up! That's where we came in! Stop it! I think she'd love it! If you're a fan of what the kids call rock and roll music, then I've got a show for you this Friday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine and Audioslave and Prophets of Rage is going to be here with us. And young man named Billy Idol as well.
That's too much.
Legends. That's a lot. That's a lot.
Too much rock.
Legends. Yeah, that's all Friday right here on K-Rock. First Alley's here with a Tuesday. What's happening at 8:55?
Listen, we do Rocktober right, you know? We didn't have them.
Oh. Ironically, you didn't do it right.
Nothing. We didn't have them in September.
No.
We didn't push them ahead till November.
No.
Blowvember.
See that in my head? I was trying to figure out what the next month was. Good God. You guys, great news to wake up to this morning. FX has picked up a second season of Mayans MC. Yes. That's just 4 episodes into the show's 10-episode first season. This was shocking to me. It shouldn't be shocking because I love the show. I watch it every week. I think it's wonderful. But through 3 episodes, it's averaging 8.2 million viewers across all platforms and is the top-rated Tuesday night series on all of cable or broadcast among men 18 to 34.
I think Jensen brought up earlier that, I agree, I don't remember Sons of Anarchy even having those numbers.
Those are huge numbers,
Those are huge numbers, yeah.
And that's through 3 episodes it's averaging that. That's insane.
I'm going to tell you that J.D. Pardo doesn't hurt.
Amen. You know what I'm saying?
And so I'm missing out on this, is what you're telling
me. It's really good. I will tell you this. If you're one of those people that tends to watch a show and you're kind of distracted doing other things, unless you speak fluent Spanish, you got to pay attention because they're speaking Spanish. You're reading along at the bottom if you are, you know, Alley. So you have to pay attention during the show. And it's good to pay attention because, well, it's only been one episode where J.D. Pardo took off his shirt. But I expect more.
Hmm.
Oh, it's such a good show.
All right.
How are you on Extreme Violence, Jensen?
Oh, I love it. It's my middle name.
Yeah. Okay, you seem really into violence.
Yeah.
This show's for you, though.
My whole life just beating people up. Right. I'm so tough.
Yeah. When I think gangsta, I'm like, Jensen Karp.
Yeah, I'm more gangster.
Yes,
But
kind of a hard ER.
Hard ER, yeah.
You guys, Kyrie Irving, remember back in the day when he said the earth is flat and people were like, what is wrong with you, dude?
Love him.
And he kind of doubled, tripled, quadrupled down.
Yeah, it was the best angle. It's the angle where it's like, could be, we don't know.
Right? Have you gone across the earth? No.
Yeah.
I may have some tape on that, Allie, if you want.
Okay.
You were a trending topic on Twitter today. Do you know
why? I just found that out.
What's your thoughts on that? I mean, it's an interesting.
I think people should do their own research, man. And then, hopefully they'll either back my belief or they'll kind of throw it in the water. I think it's interesting for people to find out.
You've seen pictures of the planet, though, right? Like, yeah, it's a circle. So
I've seen a lot of things that have that my educational system has said that was real and turned out to be completely fake. So, I mean, I don't mind. I don't mind going to Instagram in terms of my thoughts. But
you know, the educational system says a lot of things are real that aren't real.
Guys, yeah. He has now apologized, which kind of bums me out.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a flat earther, stick with it. But he said he now realizes the power of his words. Here's the quote that just made me laugh. Even if you believe in that, don't come out and say that stuff. That's for intimate conversations, because perception and how you're received, it changes. I'm actually a smart-ass individual.
Did he go to Wharton School of Business? Did he add that?
Oh, he didn't, but my God.
Stick with it. Like, Isaiah Thomas still thinks the moon landing was fake. You know what I mean? Just be a person who lives in a conspiracy theory.
Why not?
Yeah.
But aren't there flat earthers all over the globe, as the expression goes?
I enjoy it so much.
But we do all know that they replaced Avril Lavigne with another girl named Melissa.
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's obvious. Yeah.
Hey, where's Shaquille O'Neal on this? Has he backtracked his flat earth? Or is he still going with
it? He's allowed to do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Shaq has a pass.
Absolutely. All
right. That's why he does those general insurance commercials. And Icy Hot.
Did I ever tell you guys when I was an intern, and I was an intern for a sports station, and they would send me into the locker room because I tended to get some really good sound bites from people. Mm-hmm. But my favorite was when Shaq said, "Can I do the interviews?" And I said, "Sure." So he grabbed the mic, and he had like a little Snickers bar, and he shoved it onto his top teeth, and he did all the questions with the chocolate bar there. So as it would melt, he was spraying chocolate all over everyone.
Wow.
It was the greatest day of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, have you had Shaka drop the mic?
We have. He went up against Ken Jeong.
And, was he great?
He acted like a big baby all day. Like, yeah. He was just like, I don't need to practice.
Mm-hmm.
And then he met my fiance, who he recognized from television. Mm-hmm. And he was very excited for that. And he asked if he could take a picture with us. And he was a totally different guy from all day. And the guy gets ready to take a picture. I'm on one side. Danielle's on the other. And they go, 1, 2, and he gets real close to my ear. He goes, "Topanga's still hot, buddy." And then they took the photo. So there's a photo of me and my fiance and him. My face is like, and I'm like freaking out. And then he's having the time of his life.
I mean, if we're honest with each other, Topanga is still hot.
Buddy.
Yeah,
buddy.
Oh, wow. That's that's insane.
Yeah.
You must get that everywhere you go.
Yeah, athletes love her.
Yeah.
Yeah, athletes are the ones that seem to connect with her the most.
Yeah.
And then, you know, hopefully we'll meet some flat earthers along the way.
I hope so. Sure. Yeah. I hope so.
Buddy.
Some birthdays for you. Kelly Ripa, Sting, Lorraine Bracco, Tiffany, and Brian Regan. And that's what's happening.
This won't make me popular, but I have something I have to admit. I have an unnatural dislike for pregnancy and pregnant people. We've talked about this. We've talked about this in the past. I don't approve of it.
Guy who goes to bed at 8 o'clock's got a problem with pregnancy.
Yes.
News at 11.
He hates the look of pregnant women. I hate everything about it.
And what I hate the most is that at the end of it all, there's a baby. But the thing that I get the most heat on is, and I know it doesn't make any sense. I know it's unfair. But women who rub their pregnant bellies drives me insane. I hate it. Like, get your hands off your stupid kid. All right, that's where.
Oh my God, you're the worst.
That's where I'm at. Okay, but that's not what this is about. This is about, when did gender reveal parties become such an essential part of telling your friends and family you're having a boy or a girl? Because it wasn't that long ago where the woman went to the doctor. Mm-hmm. They said, "You want to know what it is?" They go, "Yeah, oh, it's a little boy." And then they'd get home and they'd call their friends and family and go, "Hey, I just got back from the doctor. I'm having a boy." And they go, "Oh, that's really sweet. Okay, see you soon. Bye."
There's one reason and one reason only.
Please.
Instagram.
Yeah, that is. Social media in general.
Social media, yep.
So now you have to show off everything.
So how'd you do it? Did you pop a balloon and what? And pink powder came out? Did you cut into a cake? It's blue. F off.
If I worked at any of those places, it would be so fun to just replace it with black powder.
Right?
And they're like pinata, just like a black smoke monster just comes out of it.
So, Allie, it sounds like you agree with me that these gender reveal parties are terrible.
It's insane. It's absolutely insane.
You
it's no longer about you and your husband or your wife or your whatever you have.
Parents, yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. It's about everyone else seeing it and going, oh, congratulations, yeah, you have pink.
Also, it seems that people are trying to one-up each other with mm-hmm. the actual medium in which you've done it.
For sure.
So, like, a pinata isn't enough for one person, so right. then you have to do, like, a wiffle ball bat and a ball. Or
Yes, that's a very yes. popular one, right.
So dumb.
Yeah.
And they have lightsaber parties. I mean, they have all sorts of dumb things. Mm-hmm. Well, there's actually a gender reveal party in the news right now. The man's name is Dennis Dickey. He, by the way, happens to be a 37-year-old Border Patrol agent who should have known better. But he takes his friends and family out into the desert near Tucson. So now, by the way, as it's not dumb enough that it's a gender reveal party, now it's a destination gender reveal party. So they go out there, and he has set up a target, and he has put this highly explosive substance that is called Tannerite on the target. And then, because he's got to show off, he steps way, way, way back because he's a Border Patrol agent and pretty good with a gun, and he shoots it with a high-velocity rifle, mm-hmm. okay? And then the Tannerite, it explodes into a mist of pink because he's having a little girl congratulations, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what he didn't expect is that it was going to start a fire that would burn 45,000 acres of land managed by the state of Arizona. He did the right thing. He immediately reported the fire to law enforcement. He cooperated and admitted that he started the fire. In other words, he didn't shove everybody into a van and then drive away as fast as possible.
It's a girl. It's a girl. Get in the car. It's a girl.
So he alerted authorities. It took 800 firefighters to get it contained. At the end, when it was, it racked up a price tag of more than $8 million.
Yeah, this was a huge fire that was on the news. This was the sawmill fire.
Yes, exactly. Yes. That's exactly what the sawmill fire
by
was
way,
started by this guy.
Sawmill fire is like a 1920s disaster that killed hundreds of people. You hear about the sawmill fire?
It sounds like
everybody's out of a house.
He, by the way, has agreed to pay back the money in restitution, which, of course, is impossible on a government salary. He is paying $100,000 up front and another $120,000 in monthly installments over the next 20 years. How much money is this dude making?
He hates his daughter so much.
He
sure does. I have a reveal about his daughter.
Uh-huh. Yes.
She's broke.
Yeah.
The whole family has no money now.
He will also be on 5 years probation and appear in a public service announcement for the Forest Service. He says it was a complete accident. I feel absolutely horrible about it. It was probably one of the worst days of my life, which I think backs up what you just said, Jesse, which is he is never going to look at that little girl without hating her.
Yeah, it's terrible.
You ruined my life and stole my retirement, you bitch.
You better name her Debt.
Exactly.
Daddy.
Debt Dickey, right?
His name Dickey. Is Dickey.
Yeah, Debt Dickey is not a terrible name.
No.
So I guess what I'm saying, and it sounds like I actually have some rare support in the room, is stop it, people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Where's the 925 area code, you guys? I guess I could pretend we have Googled and just looked that up, but I didn't. He writes in, we're having a gender reveal party. We're going to open up the oven. It's going to be either tacos or hot dogs inside.
It's counties of Alameda.
Oh, okay. So Northern California. There we go. So tacos or hot dogs. That sounds like a pretty chill gender reveal party compared to some of the ones we were talking about. At least it doesn't burn down half the state of Arizona.
No.
So thank you for weighing in on that. Allie's got one more look at what's happening here on this Tuesday morning, 9:38.
Well, I like these segments because sometimes we get to know Jensen, who we may not know a ton about, but I need your opinion on this.
Sure.
What are your thoughts on Dr. Pimple Popper?
Well, I think that here's the thing. I like videos on YouTube that chill me out.
Oh, God.
That,
here we go.
That doesn't chill me out.
Okay.
No, but I would watch like a chiropractor video. Mm-hmm. Like that.
Really?
Like someone who's like snapping people's backs and stuff.
Okay.
Like that could relax me.
All right.
But as far as large pimple popping.
Yeah.
I'm not into it.
For people that don't know, Dr. Pimple Popper started out just doing these YouTube videos. She's I believe a dermatologist, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And she will get rid of either pimples, getting the pus out, infections, cysts, whatnot.
But like serious, extreme.
Serious ones that you're like, how much pus could possibly be in a human?
Yeah.
And then she was offered a show from TLC. And I thought, what? We had her on the show, Jensen.
She was delightful.
She was lovely, couldn't be nicer. And then because I was so grossed out by the Dr. Pimple Popping video, she dedicated a video to me.
Oh, what was
don't know, didn't watch it, never will. But the reason I'm bringing it up is TLC is gifting fans with the 12 Pops of Christmas, a 1-hour popaganza featuring Dr. Lee, a.k.a. Dr. Pimple Popper. It's going to air December 13th at 9 p.m. I love all things Christmas. I now hate Christmas.
We are going to need you to bring in some highlights of that hour and walk us through it, Allie.
Yeah, bring us some clips.
Very busy that time of year. We might miss
you. No, thank you.
What is the... I know we asked her when we had her on, but what was her answer as to why so many people find it satisfying to see these pimples get popped on YouTube?
I think that's just it. It's satisfying.
It's
there's
completion.
A beginning, there's a middle, there's an end. Absolutely.
Yeah, you get to see it all the way through.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah. I don't either.
I think it has a bit of a fetish in it.
Right?
No, you don't think it's a turn on for people. You're not suggesting that.
I don't mean like sexually, but I mean like there's a fetish to liking them.
Yeah.
Like I think it's like, oh, that excites me. There's a certain thing that excites me about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I grew up with pimples, like I got on Accutane. And when I would pop my own pimples, I mean, I wasn't videoing them and putting them on YouTube, but I felt satisfied. I felt very satisfied to get them done.
Okay.
So I could see how maybe some people want to watch other people do the same journey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
How's it doing? I mean, I guess the TV show's doing well if they're picking a Christmas special out of it.
I mean, the 12 pops of Christmas, Bean. Come on.
Christine is enjoying this so much in the other room. I would like to continue talking about it if there's another angle that we could take.
Yeah, I feel like no one's more grossed out than Christine.
Just
for
keep
sure.
going.
Yeah,
keep
it's going. It's pretty gross, you guys.
Sometimes it's really like kind of gooey and milky.
Yeah.
And,
sometimes like projectile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes it looks like sea urchin sushi.
Uh-huh.
You know what
yes.
I mean? When it comes out sort of
unagi,
yellow.
Right?
Unagi.
Not unagi.
Or
unagi is eel. I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
That, like orangey and it looks like
uni.
Spores.
Uni,
uni.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then, Christine, sometimes there's just a hint of, if you're too rough, just a hint of blood just to, like, mixed in with all that.
Where it looks like cranberry juice in with milk.
Wow.
She's talking, you guys.
I mean, between Christine, other people just running their cars off the freeway right now. We're not
sorry
helping.
Sorry. All right. December 13th. Let's mark that on our calendars. We're in.
I love that you remembered it was December 13th. Like you wrote it down, you freak.
It's Taylor's birthday.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. All right. So, would you guys watch a biopic about one of, arguably, if not the most legendary comics of all time?
Gallagher 2?
Nope.
Yakov Smirnoff?
Nope. Great guesses,
Carrot
though.
Top?
Nope.
Piscopo?
I'm going to George Carlin.
Oh, fair enough.
Yes.
Okay.
Biopic.
Also, he was going to be my next one.
The next one, yeah.
After Sinbad.
Biopic about the career of George Carlin. Stan Shervin, who was, I believe, not nominated for an Oscar for Moneyball, is the producer and writer of this.
I think George Carlin is a genius. He's on the Mount Rushmore of comedians. I'm trying to think. He doesn't have a life with a lot of arcs, a lot of drama, like a Richard Pryor or Robin Williams or something like that, with a lot of like crazy backstory. He seemed like to be a pretty, I mean, he just seems like a pretty normal, smart guy who worked hard and made a great career.
So you need him lighting his head on fire.
No.
You need...
What I'm saying is I'm not sure where the drama is in his story.
Maybe it's because we don't know the drama.
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
All right.
Anyone have any ideas for who would play Carlin?
Oof. Yes.
Okay. I have one.
What's his name, Allie?
Use
your words.
There's he made meth.
Aaron Paul?
And the,
oh,
no.
Brian Cranston?
Yes.
A little too old.
No.
I mean, it's late life, Carlin, like Bally's
in
Vegas.
It's a biopic, so I'm sure they do the whole life.
I got one.
Okay.
Shia.
LaBeouf?
Give it to Shia LaBeouf.
Actual cannibal?
So it just kind of looks like him.
Huh.
Okay.
Kind of got a vibe.
All right.
I would be interested in, I mean, I guess it all depends on, you know, who's producing, who's directing, who's writing, who's playing. But, I mean, look, he's a genius, but again... He doesn't have Andy Kaufman's life. You know what I mean? He's just the guy who worked hard and was funny. So let's see what they can do with that.
All right.
Wow.
We'll see, buddy. I'm gonna. Next thing you know, you're going to go to theater and watch Dr. Pimple Poppin' instead.
Right? That's what I'm saying. Like, he's a freaking legend. I want to know all I can about him.
Yeah. All right.
Wow. Yeah. He didn't do enough weirdness for Bean.
It's not that. He didn't.
Are you nervous it's going to be Kevin Hart and Tiffany Haddish, and you're not going to want to see it because you're racist?
No.
No.
Here we go.
Please don't light that fire again.
Good Lord. Well, this is concerning. I don't know if you saw this yesterday or heard about it, but they did a TMZ Live interview with Kanye West.
Oh, no.
And they found out why they didn't get the release of Yandi this past weekend, and it's because it's not done. He said he's planning on going to Africa in 2 weeks to continue recording. And here's my concern. This is the quote. He's talking about the albums that came out before Yandi, mm-hmm. and how this one is going to be so different. Okay. He said, those five albums that I dropped earlier were like superhero rehabilitation. Now the alien, yay, is fully back in mode. Off of medication, working out, breaking as much fresh air as possible, thinking, doing, being himself. He's off medication, guys.
He's been pretty open about that for a while.
But do we need him to be off medication, going to Africa, where he said he just wants to grab the soil and be and cook food? Do we want that?
No, we don't want that. And I'll also say that his last two solo albums were not finished either,
and
but they were released.
And then he'd make
scrapped
updates.
It, yeah. And then he would like finish it in a week.
Yeah.
And it seemed like he finished it from the beginning. So it seems like he's scrapping albums that are done, having a whole new idea of what he wants to do, and then that one comes out in 2 weeks.
Yeah, and not ending up with great results either. Ending up with one listen records. Unfortunately,
I don't know. Poopity Scoop.
Oh, I forgot about Poopity Scoop.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do hope he goes to Africa and comes back with, like, the Paul Simon Graceland record. But in real life,
incredible?
It probably will be, like, Chappelle and go to Africa and come back with nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I would just be very concerned.
Yeah, I didn't know that that Kanye had done that interview yesterday. I missed that. But he should be on medication.
Oh, yeah.
As should I, as should many of us.
Yeah.
Agree. It's concerning.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. How about some birthdays? How about Brian Regan? He's a funny dude.
He is.
Sure
very
is.
Funny.
How about Lorraine Bracco? She's a great actress.
Sure
very
is.
Talented.
How about Sting? Talented dude.
Yeah.
Sex for long stretches. Tantric, right? Kelly Ripa. She's tiny.
Well, these are and quite hot commentaries.
Annie Leibovitz. Take some good pictures.
Yeah.
And that's
got
what's
it.
Happening.
Thank you, Allie. Hey, on your drive home today, on the program tomorrow, Jensen revealed something to us yesterday.
Yeah.
That was so shocking. We need further investigation into it, and we need to find out if you have, is it fair to call it the same problem, or maybe it's the same solution as Jensen does.
Mm-hmm.
You essentially only poop at home, right?
Well, I had never pooped in a public bathroom until I was 26 years old, when I could not avoid it anymore and had to poop in a Dave and Buster's in Orange County.
But
we're talking school, elementary school, high school.
Yeah. Oh, I almost never even peed in those schools. I
don't like talking going to the mall.
Yeah, no.
Just at 17, going to the mall and having to go.
No.
What a mysterious poo life.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Animal stories on the program tomorrow. What should happen to someone like Louis C.K., who is slowly but surely making his way back on the stage? There's an interesting policy at a club in New York where he performed this week. We'll talk about that on the program. I think it's time. We've had a couple of days of Halloween spooks. I think it may be time to open up the vault and pull out a little two eyeballs tomorrow.
Yes.
As we get closer and closer to Halloween. We have Jensen, you found a series of YouTube videos that are unbelievably popular. A young man is doing what?
He's eating military rations, actual ones that go back to the 20s and 30s. He shows you the ration, breaks it down, opens it up, then eats the food and tells you about it.
Is he okay?
I mean, it's time will tell.
Nothing like pork and beans from World War I. I know that.
Yeah, if you want to know what milk tastes like from the 1975s, he will smell it at least.
Well, I can't wait. All of that tomorrow, plus more tickets for Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights. Have a great day. We'll see you Wednesday here on K-Rock.